If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph?
Yeah, sure enough it is.
I love it. Randolph.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, John Perry, and Robert Randolph.
Joe Perry.
What did I say, John? What the hell? So then I tried it again. Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph.
Shit!
This doesn't sound real.
I know.
That's why I had him put it on the CD for me. I said, the guys will never believe this. You have to put this on the CD.
This is why they have rehearsals.
Kevin, what's wrong with you?
They may have chosen the wrong guy.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like. Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Roll another one. Just like seems to be about to quit, and I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
My balls are no longer proportionate to my wang.
And now,
those people that say that marijuana is a gateway drug, we say, yeah, a gateway to good times.
Hell yeah.
Our feature presentation.
That's Love, featuring Arthur Lee, lead singer of Love. And he didn't write that. Burt Bacharach wrote that song, but Arthur Lee wrote most all the songs that Love did. Anyway, that was My Little Red Book by Arthur Lee. And that was a song that Jim Morrison heard on the radio and goes, we got to sound like that. And in fact, it was Arthur Lee that actually booked the Doors to open for them when Love headlined the Whiskey A Go-Go. And Arthur Lee brought the Doors to Elektra Records and got them signed.
Tell me more.
What can I say? Maybe the people will be the times between Clark and Hilldale. That's the street off Sunset Boulevard where the Whiskey A Go-Go is or was. It's still there, but not the same.
No.
But I remember one time I had David Cassidy from the Partridge Family and Bobby Gillespie of Primal Scream on my show.
Tell me more.
A phone call from Arthur Lee. He called in and spoke to him, and Bobby Gillespie was on acid. He was on kind of on LSD.
Kind of.
And it blew Bobby Gillespie's mind, basically, because that was his idol, Arthur Lee. When I was a kid, I was in the 4-H club and I raised pigeons. I had these, like, classic pigeons, and so did Arthur Lee.
Wow.
He collected pigeons as
well.
He raised them, and we talked about all these, like, really rare pigeons. I had these, like, they're called Russian fantail pigeons. They look like little tiny miniature turkeys, but they were pigeons. And Arthur had those, too. And we talked about the old days, and we talked about how I was addicted to Diet Right Cola and sunflower seeds when I first came to Hollywood as a kid.
Right.
So anyway, as Bobby Gillespie and Arthur Lee were talking and stuff, we somehow managed to get together with a band from Santa Barbara called Citrus Groove. So Arthur Lee got together with Bobby Gillespie from Primal Scream and Citrus Groove and recorded this song, one of his songs, Arthur Lee's songs from Love, Flash on You, and here it is, Rare.
The song is shorter than the setup, I'll tell you that.
106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, Rodney on the Rock right here. It's always been my very favorite Blondie song. In the Sun from Blondie off the very first Blondie album. And to this day, Blondie never does that song live in concert.
Who cares?
They used to. They used to do that when they played the Starwood and the Whiskey A Go-Go and stuff. And I remember Jenny Lenz took these pictures of Blondie when she did that song.
Yes.
Debbie Harry's dress flew up, and then Debbie was really mad when that picture was printed. But anyway, that's a song that they never do live for some odd reason. It's a great song, In the Sun, Blondie.
Let's talk about lots of songs that Blondie doesn't ever do. Why don't we
anyway,
do that?
Anyway, a couple of things that are happening around town for Stephanie's Bees. They're going to be at July the 14th at the Troubadour.
Okay.
Actually, they already played.
All right, that's over.
And then Polysplenic Spree are playing at the El Rey.
Polysplenic Spree.
Okay. Okay, we're done with Rodney for now, right?
Here's my point. Blondie does a song only occasionally in concert, but he told a story of someone who took a picture of Blondie while she was performing that song.
That's right.
That was the story.
He's got stories no one else has.
He does. That's true.
Who
but he's
else
got,
would bring up the pigeon thing?
But he's
Come
got
on.
The he's got the Psycho Mike storytelling disease.
Yes, he does.
Where he has to put in 75% too much information.
I was so confused.
How long are you going to talk?
Exactly.
So confused by the first introduction. By the time the song came, I had no idea who sang it. I don't know.
No clue.
What? Nothing.
That guy's on the radio in Los Angeles. That guy right there.
It's one of my favorite stories ever was Bean and I flew here to meet with the program director. And we were in the car, and he turned on K-Rock, and Rodney was on. And Bean immediately says, well, there's your problem right there.
Very insightful.
Oh, dear God. All right. How is everybody before we talk about today's show?
Just fine.
Good?
Yes.
It's Friday the 12th of Rocktober. Have Sean Astin on the show today?
Very
How about
cool.
that? The guy who kills all the meerkats.
I don't think he kills them as much as he's just the narrator.
Yes.
Well, he could have done a little something to save Flower. That's all I'm suggesting.
Is
maybe
agree.
Get out of the goddamn recording booth and, you know, help a rodent out. That's all I'm saying.
We also have Mark Wahlberg on the program today.
Great. Dude.
Movie is We Own the Night that comes out today. Speaking of We Own the Night and people on
night.
Our show. Yeah, as Dave, the King of Mexico, says, We Own Night.
Yeah.
Eva Mendez.
Oh.
Yes.
Also in that movie.
Oh.
Also on the Kevin and Bean show today.
She looks... I saw her in TMZ last night.
Yeah.
My God in heaven.
Yeah, right?
No,
what
she's not hot,
what
no.
the hell?
No,
yeah,
she's not
don't
Dave.
Even, don't even
this
talk about Dave.
Hot.
Don't no. even don't even talk about him.
We have to ignore that from him from now on.
We do, because
he's just so wrong.
He just... it's his self-defense mechanism. He's never going to have sex with anyone who looks like that, so he denies her beauty.
Right. Totally.
Does he name anything that he finds substandard on Eva Mendez? Can he pick her apart at all? What does he like about
her? She's pretty, doesn't think she's hot.
After hours, well, nah, but after 10 minutes of us berating him, this is all we'd get out of him being, well, okay, she's not ugly.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can all agree on that.
I made him admit that she's at least somewhere on the hot scale. Now, you might find someone hotter, but she's on the hot scale.
She's got to be.
Yeah.
Gotta be. Yeah.
So he finally, I think he admitted it just out of being tired of being beat up.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we're going to talk to her today.
Well, our show is no place for a difference of opinion. I'll tell you,
right.
That's one thing I've learned.
Especially
you
when
just, you just have to give in. You just have to acquiesce. Otherwise, your life is miserable.
Well, see, you can't judge by you, Bean, because you're nutty as well.
Yeah.
But Eva Mendez, come on. I mean, that's a slam dunk.
You
that's a gimme.
Argue that.
No, there's no
As
argument.
You say,
there.
Scientific fact.
Scientific fact.
It's proof, yeah.
Also on today's show, we have the grand prize drawing for Incubus. We've been qualifying you all week with giving you their catalog, and today we're going to send you to their last concert tour stop in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Aye, aye, aye!
Oh, enthusiasm.
A little enthusiasm.
All right.
I'm bringing sure. it in the last
Change
Good
that
for
up.
You.
We got the movie beat today because it's Friday, and we have in our studios Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne.
They are always fascinating.
Yes, they are.
Mike, you going to get a new tattoo today since Ozzy's coming in?
Last time he was here, he wrote Ozzy on your left chest, right chest?
My right pec, yes.
Yeah, and you got it tattooed.
Now I'm getting Sharon on my butt cheek.
Excellent. Excellent. Sharon Osbourne. Sharon on one, Osbourne on the other butt.
Yes.
Yeah. And the O is just...
It's
right.
Oh, that's perfect.
Just pick it up with the S. So anyway, that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and the Showbiz Beat is...
Ralph Garman, television star, not in for a couple of days, but we are continuing to keep a look at the Showbiz Beat. Your man Al Gore, big day today. Kevin, well, I'm sure you're excited.
No, what's he doing? I don't know.
He won the Nobel Peace Prize.
For his goddamn slideshow?
Well, I think the slideshow is part of it. Of course, his movie, An Inconvenient Truth, already won the Academy Award last year, and now he has won the Nobel Peace Prize. Just announced, I am deeply honored to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. We face a true planetary blah, 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 blah. Actually, I do have the actual part of the speech here.
When people cast votes, the votes should be counted.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And there are more than enough uncounted votes.
He's more energetic than ever before.
To decide the outcome of this election.
This is what's weird, and I know, Lisa, you've been following this.
Sure.
Every month now, there are more and more people getting on board the bandwagon to try to get Al to run for president again. What's that all about?
I'll tell you what's wrong.
I think they've forgotten about this.
Yes, they have.
And they kind of remember the movie where he had like 1,000 takes.
And he was edited.
Oh, please, have another energy drink.
Look, I understand that he won the popular vote in 2000. I understand he got more than 500,000 more votes than President Bush did, okay? But if he had been elected, we would all be in a coma by now. We'd all be asleep by now. People, don't you?
The principle is the consent of the governed.
This is the guy you want to run?
And the consent of the governed.
Okay.
Is expressed.
Anyway, he is donating his share of the $1.5 million that accompanies to the prize to a climate protection agency. So, Al Gore.
He's just a good guy.
Is there any kind of, there's no kind of science award or something? I don't understand the Peace Prize.
I think, Can I say? Sure. What they're saying is that global warming and the wars that are starting to be fought and already being fought in Africa over water, it actually is a matter of wars that are beginning because of global warming, and him helping us to understand it and deal with it early could prevent wars across the country, across the world.
That's exactly what the Peace Prize Committee said, is because of the greater competition for resources, this is going to be a bigger and bigger problem as the years roll by. So Al Gore at least is out there pointing it out. That's the point.
Okay. Paul McCartney and Heather Mills in talks again yesterday about this divorce, an 8.5-hour session yesterday. No, that was not a one-leg joke.
Okay.
8.5-hour session. Apparently, the number that they came up with is $71 million.
That's what dollars or pounds?
Maybe it is pounds. I think
it's pounds.
Which is like twice that.
Yep. Like $150
million. $150
million. Wow. Well, in her defense, she did have to be married to Paul McCartney for 4 years. That's worth $150 million because it was probably tough living for her in that lifestyle.
This is one of those situations that drives me nuts because he obviously had all the talent and earned all that money before.
Hey, did you see her dance with one leg?
No.
She was good.
$150 million good?
I'm just saying, if you're talking about talent, you have to give her a nod.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Well, he's going to be happy when that one's done. He's going to be happy when he doesn't have to see her again.
$150 million. How much? I mean, really, that's just how much money he hates her. Right?
Yeah. Make him go away.
I hate you $150 million worth.
That does say something.
I'm going to pay it to you and make you go away.
Yeah.
Here's great news if you are, like we are, a fan of Steve-O. There's a website called partywithastar.com, and they are running a contest on the website right now. The lucky winner wins a two-day hotel stay, a $1,000 Visa gift card, round-trip airfare, and a VIP dinner with Steve-O. You hang out with Steve-O at night. And like I say, partywithastar.com.
Does it come with insurance?
No, I'm sure it doesn't.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say if you'll, what that night with Steve-O will be like, but it probably involves, sneaking into some place he's not supposed to be, smoking weed, ended up maybe cap off the night with jail. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities on an average night in Hollywood with Steve-O, but I know there are a lot of people who love him, and partywithastar.com is where you want to go.
It's going to be funny, too, because Steve-O is a professional partier.
Yeah, it's his job.
whoever wins this is going to go try. I'm so going to party tonight. And by like 7:30, they're going to be out because Steve-O just is out of his freaking mind.
You can't keep up with Steve-O if you're an amateur. No.
Steve-O,
I mean, he's trained for this.
Steve-O starts partying before he comes on our show.
Yeah, yeah, in
like
the morning.
7 a.m., he's already mangled. I can't imagine what happens at midnight.
Well, you see him on TMZ sometimes. You see the kind of shape he's in.
Yeah. He doesn't try to hide it. That's one thing about Steve-O, man. He is not out there trying to put up a false front.
I got some bunch of good movie news today. You know, every day it seems like we get new casting news on this upcoming Star Trek movie, which, you know, just with J.J. Abrams directing, I'm already in.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, he has never been involved in a bad project. But John Cho, who was Harold in Harold and Kumar, is going to be cast as Sulu in the Star Trek movie.
Nice!
Good choice there. And Lisa, you're going to be very excited to hear who's playing Chief Engineer Montgomery Scott. Who's Scotty in the Star Trek movie? Your boyfriend, Simon Pegg.
I don't
know
who
Hot
that
Fuzz.
Is. From Hot Fuzz.
He's been in a bunch of good movies. We had him most recently in the studio. He was in Dawn of the Dead. He was in Mission Impossible 3. But Simon Pegg is going to be playing Scotty in the film.
That's great.
And the movie is now all the principal parts are cast. It's going to be starting to shoot next month. A lot of people looking forward to the new Star Trek film. Of course, MovieTickets.com did a survey of which upcoming films people are most looking forward to, and it's no surprise that Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is number one on the list that people most want to see.
No kidding. Sure.
The new Batman Begins movie, The Dark Knight, is, I guess Batman Begins 2, The Dark Knight, is number two. National Treasure Book of Secrets coming out this Christmas was number three.
Yes, no. Yes, yes.
No.
Are you kidding? That looks like the best, worst movie ever.
American Gangster 4 and The Chronicles of Narnia round out the top five. And one more movie note. If you remember Sir Roger Moore, who played James Bond for about seven movies back in the 70s and 80s, I think the last thing I saw him in was he had a role on Alias. He had a recurring role on Alias. He turns 80 this weekend, gets his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
How about that? Britney's record company, Zomba Recording.
Never heard of them.
Which owns Jive Records.
Oh, okay.
Should be Zombie, according to her MTV performance, but filed in a copyright infringement lawsuit against PerezHilton.com because of all the songs he's been
leaking. Oh.
Apparently, they're from her new CD, Blackout, which is named properly.
We weren't sure if they were real or not.
Some of them were. Some of them were unfinished, they're claiming, so they're talking about moving up the release to October 30th.
Hmm. Yeah, that is happening. They are definitely moving
Blackout.
It early.
And that's why they're doing it, because all these songs are leaking.
Yeah.
You get the impression from Perez, and maybe it's just his spin, that, you know, he was authorized to release those. Like, they were given to him to release.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
But it makes it seem like he's doing her a favor by putting them out there. But anytime you're playing a Britney song for someone, you're not doing Britney a favor.
You might be, because I was thinking about this as, you know, I was reading this story, too. I don't know if I've ever been more excited for the release of an album of music that I don't like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really am so excited for this album.
Yeah.
I have no interest in the music.
Well, it's train wreck.
Right.
That's why you want to see how much of a train wreck it is. Well, if all of the songs that Perez Hilton released are on that album, then I really am looking forward to
that. We won't be disappointed.
Because some of them are awful.
Awful. Yeah.
And I mean, some of them, you know, I don't know if you like this new one, Give Me More, or whatever it is.
The number one song on iTunes this week?
That one is decent, kind of by Britney standards.
Right.
But the songs that were on Perez Hilton were way worse than that, even. Yeah. So if you didn't like that, you got
some
bad
stuff. Ones where she has the talking parts.
Yeah, me too.
that's the one where you can really hear what a fine actor she is.
When people cast votes,
that's Al Gore.
The votes should be counted.
All right, Al. We don't have time to look at that again. Here's some great news for Omar, and that is a feud has broken out between Rachel Ray, the chef, or cook, or talk show host, whatever she is, and Anthony Bourdain, who is the guy from Kitchen Confidential, which is another one of those kind of cooking shows that's, I think, on the Fox Channel. Yes.
Come on.
Apparently, he is blasting Rachel's decision to do commercials for Dunkin' Donuts. You know, he's a guy who's concerned about what people put in their mouths, I guess. And he says it's like endorsing crack for kids. He says he thinks it's over the line. The kids are too fat. They got the diabetes. Rachel Ray shouldn't be having anything to do with it. It's should people look up to her? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, her representatives say, you know, Rachel's promoting balance and moderation and blah, 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 blah. And that's how that one goes.
That story should be amended that he is upset how fat she is. Not that she's, you know, endorsing donuts.
That's maybe interesting.
I have Omar's
the worst feud ever, though, by the way.
Yeah, it is, yeah. This is like East Coast, West Coast rap. I have Omar's song standing by if you want a little of it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you bet.
Rachel Ray.
I hate this bitch.
Now when I holler Rachel Ray, all I wanna do is choke her. Every time she opens up her trap, she sounds like a chain smoker. Using words like yummo, I can't believe this hoe. She's so fat, the last thing she needs is a cooking show. Claiming to make good meals like in under 30 minutes. Maybe her dumb fat ass should be using that time for fitness. She is really fat. She be using words like, oh my gravy. Let's all face it, this big bitch is really, really crazy. And when I see a fat chick, I'm hollering, Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray. All I wanna do is take your heart out and I'll fillet. Then I wanna take your boobay and your vajayjay.
Okay, I think that's probably enough.
Boobay, but
boobay is the rhyme there.
I missed the latest rumor that MC Hammer was dead. Did you guys ever even hear?
No, I heard the rumor yesterday, yes.
Apparently there was a guy named Stanley Burrell, which is MC Hammer's real name, who died. And once his obituary got out there online, people saw Stanley Burrell had died and thought MC Hammer died. But in fact, he's not only alive, but listen to what MC Hammer is up to these days. He's got a new internet project called Dance Jam, where you send in videos of yourself dancing and he judges the footwork.
Yes!
I don't know how that's a thing that people would do. I don't know what you win. I just know it's very, very sad for MC Hammer that that's what he's doing now.
So MC Hammer is not dead. Would you say he's too legit to quit?
Oh, Kevin.
Would you go that far?
Think after Dance Jam, he probably wishes he were, though.
Yo, what's going on? You got the hammer, man.
Dance Jam.
Do me a favor.
Do they put the videos up?
Yeah.
I mean, so that people can see them?
Apparently that's the deal. Yeah, I haven't been to the site yet, but that's what...
We are so putting Psycho Mike.
I was about to say, do you need to enter some Spotlight Dance?
Yep, I got a long list of dances that Psycho Mike does. We may need to enter that and see what he thinks of you, man.
Sure.
And speaking of Psycho Mike, I'll do one more story this time, and this is Grey's Anatomy star T.R. Knight, who's been very good this season. I don't know if you're watching or not.
Of course.
Lisa. Been very good this season. He came out of the closet a year ago. He has now taped a public service announcement for National Coming Out Day, which I did not realize, and I am sorry to inform
you, Mr. Mike, was yesterday.
So you blew your opportunity, no pun intended, for National Coming Out Day. So you can just wait till next year, you think? Or?
Well, no, I mean, in private circles, my close friends, we had a meeting.
Sure.
Yesterday, okay. We made some s'mores, and we just hung out, and I made a little speech. I came out, so... Maybe
that's
you weren't invited. That's all.
Maybe that's what it is.
All right.
Maybe he was at his own party.
On television tonight, you got some chick shows on ABC. You got Women's Murder Club.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know much about that. Debut of that.
Very popular Harden, book right? series.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Andrew, a very popular book series. This is the first TV movie they've made out of one of the books, so there's already a strong following for these characters.
There's a season premiere of something that's supposedly called Men in Trees.
Yes, I've been waiting.
I was afraid of that.
I love that show.
Dean's Friday Night Lights on tonight.
Yes, I love that show.
Baseball on Fox.
Yes,
and,
I gotta
stop!
Watch that too. Red Sox.
Can't be excited. Oh, that's right. You love the Red Sox now all of a sudden.
Uh-oh.
And Saturday Night Live is hosted by Jon Bon Jovi with musical guest Foo Fighters. So if you're a Foo Fighter fan, you might want to check out Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Hugh Jackman. By all accounts, one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. Enormously talented, of course, you know, from the X-Men and so many other great movies. He's 39 years old today. Former child star Kirk Cameron, 37. He was growing pains, right? He's 37 years old today. Adam Rich, another former child star, turns 39. I believe he was the 8 is enough guy.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of 30-year-olds worth noting today. Skier Bodie Miller, who parties like no other athlete in the world and still manages to be a world-class skier. It's unbelievable. If that guy was committed, imagine how good he'd be.
Yeah.
If he put down the bong, imagine what a good athlete he'd be.
He talks about like showing up for events, you know, blasted, all kinds of stuff.
I know. And, of course, our personal Lord and Savior, Young Jeezy, also turning 30 today. So that is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
That's a new band. Sounds like the Toadies, I know. But that's a new band. What?
That is the Toadies. That's Possum Kingdom from the Toadies on K-Rock. It's 106.7 K-Rock. We're going to talk to Sean Astin from The Final Season, new film out today. Of course, you know him from Lord of the Rings and so many other great things. But we got about 2 minutes to kill. So do we have time for the Federline Boys song?
Oh, yeah, them Federline Boys. You can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and go to video and see the video for this song.
Yeah, goo goo gaga, motherfucker. It's them Federline Boys. Back at that ass for 07. We just some chimps off the old block, ready to take over the hip-hop world. Pop your collar, Sean Preston.
Jaden, do the same.
When it comes to being toddlers,
we're bosses in the game.
What set do we claim?
Malibu?
Baby Gap, we wear nothing but FUBU. Bottles are filled with Hennessy and Yoo-Hoo. The shoes on our feet cost more than you do. True,
we may be little boys,
but we spend big money and we buy big toys.
Don't suck pacifiers,
we smoke weed.
Chronic is our tonic, no stems, no seeds.
Baby T,
we got gold-plated molars,
20-inch rims on both of our strollers.
Babysitters, leave us alone, making million-dollar deals on our Fisher-Price cell phone.
Put hydraulics on my little red wagon.
See my Gucci diaper, cause my pants are sagging.
Hit PCH and I made it straight dip.
On my bad big wheels, goats ride the whip.
It's hereditary to write these rhymes.
I'm 2 years old, been to jail 3 times.
Our daddy K-Fed, he gave us this demeanor. I'm 2 feet tall with a 10-foot wiener.
Wiener, wiener, wiener.
Yeah, Dad, what'd you think about that track?
Straight hot.
Well, good, then let's get the f*** out of here, because I got to get my hair braided at 4 p.m. You know Tanisha's fat ass ain't going to wait around.
Yeah, that's my boy. Brady's a hoe.
Well, there you go. The video for that is up at krock.com. And congratulations to Psycho Mike and Beer Mug. Lightning was the Lightning Scorsese was the editor.
It was well done.
Coming up on this morning's show, we have highlights of Shaolin, our intern's radio show that we just found out about that's called Sexy Time.
This is amazing because she's been here for 2 months now.
Yep.
And
right.
We still don't know.
That's correct. We just found out about it yesterday.
There's
it's also
tons
weird
of
that,
stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
Weird that she would talk so much about being a virgin and not talk so much about hosting a radio show called Sexy Time. Just seems like a weird mix. Also, actor Mark Wahlberg joins us in about a half an hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we told you we'd talk to Sean Astin. We're talking to Sean Astin. The final season opens everywhere today, just in time for the baseball playoffs. We got a baseball movie for you to go when there's no game on the TV. Good morning, Sean. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
Well, it's great to have you. I know you're a big baseball fan. I think I remember you playing in one of the celebrity games that we were at maybe a couple years ago at Dodger Stadium, too.
Well, don't you remember how I performed in that game? Not to brag a little bit here.
How'd you do, Sean?
Seven home runs? I can't.
First pitch of the game, Ron Say, little home run there.
That's right. He is the man. How about that?
I like that Sean is.
It's cool that they decided to move in the little softball fence so that it would be easy to hit it over, but whatever.
That doesn't matter. You don't have to mention that.
Okay.
Our guy, Psycho Mike, who works on our show, told all of us that he was going to hit a home run. He was on the team this most recent year. He said to everybody, I guarantee I'm going to hit a home run. And I think at one point he may have said, if Sean Astin can hit a home run, I can hit a home run. Mike, how'd that work out for you?
Well, I mean,
He said if Sean Astin can hit a home run, no one else can be able to breathe because it's a rare event.
Yeah, well.
Now, being a baseball fan, did that have anything to do with why you were attracted to this movie or just a happy coincidence?
No, absolutely. I mean, they said I get to play the coach of a high school baseball team, and that just seemed like, in Iowa, essentially in a cornfield, and it's just like, ooh, perfect storm. I like it.
It didn't have anything to do with Rachel Lee Cook?
Actually, Rachel wasn't a part of the movie yet. This is the first movie that I've ever done where I was kind of instrumental in helping put the financing in place in the movie.
Uh-huh. Are you a producer on it?
I have an executive producer title.
Nice.
But a lot of other people actually, physically produced the movie. But the point is just that, we got to see Rachel become a part of the movie, sort of after I'd been working with him for a while. So she's beautiful, and we're so lucky that she did the movie.
Yeah, she's a good actress, too. Okay, so the team in Norway, Iowa, small town heroes, kind of like maybe the football team on Friday Night Lights on the TV, and you take over as their coach. And I imagine there's a little bit of conflict there because you're the new guy in town?
Well, the conflict is that the school is getting closed down because it's a rural farming town, and they're kind of the state is consolidating the schools, moving them into bigger districts to kind of pool their resources a little bit better. And unfortunately, what's lost in the balance is this little town loses its Do you know the story? Did I mention the story? Let me just say it for a second. It's about a team from a school with less than 600 student people, and the school has less than 100 students, and the team won 19 out of 23 state championships.
Oh, my God.
No kidding. That's a real story?
It's unbelievable. And when they closed down the school, they lost their name, their team, their field, the coach, and it's a It was devastating. I mean, the town was essentially like a grain silo, a cornfield, and a baseball, you know, field.
Wow, 19 out of 23.
Yeah, so the story is basically what happens at the end of the 1990 season when the town finds out this is happening, and they fire the legendary coach because he's sort of a political firebrand that is fomenting rebellion against this merger, and they give the team to his assistant coach, the guy who had been his assistant coach for just half a season and was a girls' volleyball coach before that, but never really coached a team, and they give this legendary team to him, Kent Stock, who I play, to let the team die a slow, fast, quiet, whatever death, and people just move on and let that era end.
Here's a clip from the movie where they're talking to you about the team.
What is the big deal with the high school baseball team? I don't get it.
Here's the thing you have to understand about Norway. It's like being with the New York Yankees. I mean, they have a tradition here that's about more than just winning. It's about playing the game right. So I just want some of that to rub off on me.
It's not about more than winning, because 19 out of 23 is winning, damn it.
You know what? That's absolutely right. And I realized that, you know, when I was growing up, it was so ingrained in my head that, you know, it's not about whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. And it wasn't until I made this movie that the idea of, no, go out and win. You want to win. Sportsmanlike, absolutely, but that's the object of the game, is to win. And these kids take incredible pride, and the coaches and the whole town, in knowing how to beat the other teams. And there's something really inspiring about that. It makes me think of Patton, you know, and when George C. Scott's like, America loves a winner.
Right.
True.
Now, I would imagine any of the kids on this team could nail any chick in the middle of Iowa, couldn't they, be on this team? I mean, I would just imagine that's the best aphrodisiac in the world playing for that team.
Well, yeah.
First time you've ever been asked that, Sean?
My wife is a big baseball fan.
Yeah, okay. Sean Astin is on the line. We're talking about the final season, but
wait a minute.
Yes.
She's only going to sleep with me. Any player could. Yeah, no, sorry.
Right, but I was talking about the real life players playing for that team. It just must have been pretty sweet for him. I mean, talk about being sad when the team goes away. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sean is on the line. We're talking about the final season, which opens up today. But while we have you, a couple other quick things we need to ask you about. First of all, would it have killed you to jump in and save Flower on the Meerkat Manor? How did you, heartless bastard, you, Sean?
Oh, people are so upset about the Meerkat's death, and it just shows you how, you know, powerful and emotional animals are for people. It's, you always know that, and you hear about the groups that support animals, and you think, geez, but people really get connected to these meerkats out in the Kalahari Desert, and I'm just like the audience. When I sit down to do the voiceovers, I don't know what's going to happen until, you know, right before we record them, and, you know, it's been really kind of a brutal season.
Sean narrates the series. It's on Animal Planet. It's called Meerkat Manor, and this is the moment that it all came to. Here it is.
For 4 years, Flower was the Whiskers' faithful dominant. From humble beginnings, she created one of the largest close-knit families on the manor. Flower was a formidable leader and a noble mother. The desert has lost its favorite rose.
Did you expect you would get caught up in the excitement of the meerkats when you took the job, or did you just think, hey, voiceover work, man, that's pretty fast and easy?
Movie final season that comes out today and Meerkat and a bunch of the things that I do, it really only takes a split second for me to know I want to be a part of it. I mean, I got a call from my agent saying, you know, Animal Planet, that was it. I said, yes, whatever Animal Planet. So, and the Meerkats, you know, I was a little cynical when I started out because I didn't know whether this idea of naming the Meerkats and following their kind of soap opera life was going to be, it seemed a little kind of weird to me.
Right,
but
right.
After doing it for a season, now that what you just played is sort of part of the third season, it's really affecting.
I got to tell you, you are a great narrator. I could have never pulled this off.
The desert has lost its favorite rose.
There's no way I could have pulled it.
He feels it.
It's like I'm in the corny part of my life and career now, but but if you have, I mean, Flower, the one, she had like the electronic collar on so the biologist could find her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she, for the last couple of years, has been the most vicious, brutal mother. I mean, she would just kind of kick these other little meerkats out of the group. Even if they were her daughters, she'd fight with them to kind of keep the the structure of their little family unit together, whatever. And for 2 years, I found myself saying, she's a horrible mother. She's terrible. But then by the end of the, you know, right before she dies, where she, the way she dies, she gets attacked by a puff adder. It's a snake, you know, and she's defending her family, and it's really gruesome, and you see it, and you just think, you know, wow, man, it's really, it's intense. And
yeah, it's rough.
It is.
All right, you get a double dose of Sean Astin today. Of course, Meerkat Manor, Friday nights at 8:30 on the Animal Planet. And go see the new film called The Final Season. It sounds like a great, inspirational true story. I'm glad we had you on, Sean, so we knew that background on the movie before we go check it out. But, man, it's great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We always enjoy talking to you.
Lisa, good for you putting up with those guys.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
Why not football this weekend? Why not the number 10 USC Trojans playing this weekend, by the way? How does that sound to you? Number 10, and I know a USC graduate who's not that happy about it. She is on the line. We've had her on before, and she is the Gridiron Goddess at gridirongoddess.net. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
how about that Cardinal, huh? How about that Stanford?
Oh, my God. I know. I have terrible colds, and I'm sure it's brought on by the disappointment of their loss.
Sure, yeah. That's known to cause colds.
Now we definitely have some NFL games we want to talk to you about, Amy. But I didn't know, because I didn't pay attention yesterday, that until I looked at your site, that John David Booty is out this game. You're going to have some sort of rookie quarterback for the Trojans, right?
Yeah, Mark Sanchez, he's from Orange County, just like Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart are, and you know, clocks in at 6'4", like the two of them do. He's more of a traditional Southern Cal quarterback, and I'm going to the game tomorrow, and I'm wearing my Leinart jersey because I feel like the Booty jersey brings bad luck now.
Wow, one game of wearing the Booty jersey and it's out. So you're gonna wear the jersey of Leinart, who's also injured. That's what you're gonna do.
Exactly, because my buddy Matt and his boys from Carolina are traveling into Phoenix to see the Carolina Panthers take on the Cardinals. So.
Amy is a K-Rock listener. She runs a website, gridirongoddess.net, and she makes picks for football. And she was on our show 2 weeks ago, and I believe you went 4-1. Is that correct?
I went 5-1 with my suicide pick. You considered it
5-1.
Wow,
not
bad. I did the same format last week and went 5-1 again.
No kidding! 2 weeks in a row, 5-1.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. All right. Well, so out of all the games, which ones do you think you have 4 or 5 picks?
I have 5 picks, and then I couldn't decide on what you wanted to go with the suicide necessarily, but I'm thinking San Diego is definitely going to kill Oakland.
Okay.
The Giants are going to kill Atlanta.
All right.
Got to pick Ralph Eagles over the Jets.
Okay, good luck with that.
That's a couple of real bad teams that will both be trying hard to make sure the other team wins, right?
I know, but I think even with Donovan McNabb's stage fright and inconsistent play, he's going to be better than Pennington and his weak arm, you know.
All right, that's 3.
Quarterbacks are the key to winning this season for sure, even more so than defenses.
And by the way, speaking of quarterbacks, the last count I heard, Amy, was something like 12 starting quarterbacks at the beginning of this season, which isn't even halfway over, are already out, have already been replaced due to injury. Isn't that an unbelievable percentage?
It is unbelievable. Last night, I actually rewrote the word to the Hokey Pokey about replacing quarterbacks in the league this season.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You did a parody of the Hokey Pokey?
Yeah.
Wow. That takes some nerve.
Carolina signed Vinny Testaverde, 43 years old, to a 1-year contract. You know,
yes.
The Panthers in a panic, or in Arizona in a panic, signed Tim Rattay.
Sure.
And Warner's 36, and the Carolina-Arizona game is going to be like the AARP Bowl.
I mean, it really is amazing. The reason guys like Vinny are able to still get a team is because quarterbacks are few and far between that are any good. And at least, I mean, say what you will about the guy, he's 43 or whatever, but he's got a ton of experience, and the guy is good under pressure. I mean, I guess in a lot of cases you'd rather have that rather than some rookies just not ready.
Well, it's true, but if you look at the teams that are 5-0 and the teams that are 4-1 so far this season, they've all got great quarterbacks, and you know, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Tony Romo and Brett Favre. So
Tony Romo ruled last weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so you got San Diego over Oakland, you got Giants over Atlanta, you got Philadelphia over the Jets. What else?
Well, that's what I got. Cleveland over Miami.
All right.
I'm going with the Seahawks over the Saints.
That's risky.
Well, I think I'm also going to go out on a limb and just say the Pats are going to do it over the Cowboys.
Now, I was wondering if you were going to pick that game or not. That one's a tough one.
That's the game of between the unbeaten teams, and that's going to be an amazing game. New England Patriots, Dallas Cowboys, and you're saying New England is going to do it in?
Yeah,
is it in Dallas?
I think if you go into a matchup and compare Brady against Romo and the two D's against each other, the Pats come out ahead on both fronts.
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to get Psycho Mike to bet on it, but I don't think he will.
Okay. Well, you give me the, I think the spread right now is 5.5. So if you give me 5.5, I'll do it.
I'll give you the spread. I'll give, because it is in Dallas, for God's sake.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that does play a role. That's a very tough place to come into. Irving, Texas, it's really loud and really mean.
Oh, please, it's not really
mean. But, you know, the Pats having so much Super Bowl experience in recent years, are you playing in tough games and tough places? So.
It's really loud and really mean in Dallas.
That's the game. Regardless who you pick, though, that's the game this week.
It is.
Get your popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
The two number 81s, Terrell and Randy Moss, going up against each other. And, you know, Belichick's going to look really grizzled and mean and have his hood on. It's going to be awesome.
Exactly. That game is on Sunday at 4:15. That's going to be a great game.
By the way, I love Terrell. Did I hear correctly, Amy? And if you're just joining us, Amy from the gridirongoddess.net is on the line right now making some football picks on the Kevin and Sean Kara. Did I hear that Terrell has not been talking to the media at all this week? He put a sign up on his locker that said, I'll have my comments after the game on Sunday. I got nothing to say right now.
He did. He said something like, when the original 81 goes against the new 81, bring your popcorn.
Yeah, he's going to show him.
Yeah, after this game, he reverts to his old heel, mouth and off.
But you know what's funny about that is these guys don't play against each other. They're both on offense. It's not like one of them is guarding the other. It has nothing to do with each other.
And he's not having the best year ever, is he, Mike? I mean, Terrell's not what he was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, look, he's a very effective wide receiver who still has the capacity to make huge plays. There's no doubt about it. But Randy Moss clearly winning that matchup of seasons right now.
Yeah.
Randy Moss is back to his old form, and I think, in my opinion, when he's in his top shape, Randy Moss is about as effective a wide receiver as you've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, New England, Dallas, I'm sorry, I said it was 4:15. That was Eastern. It's 1:15 our time.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look at it from a fantasy football point of view, you figure a lot of people are going to be holding one or the other, and the lucky few might have both, you know?
Yeah, sure. No kidding. All right, let me recap the picks, folks, from somebody who's been 5-1 over the last, both of the last 2 weeks. San Diego over Oakland, Giants over Atlanta, Philadelphia over the Jets, Cleveland over Miami, Seattle Seahawks over the winless New Orleans Saints. How about a suicide pick, Amy?
That's going to be Pats at Dallas. Pats over Dallas.
Oh.
That's your suicide?
I'm going out on a limb with it, yeah.
That's your suicide pick.
She is.
Wow.
Potentially getting out of the office pool right now, isn't she?
How about that? Those of you that don't do suicide picks, you get one loss and you're out.
Right.
So that's a tough call. All right, Amy.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. We'll talk to Mark Wahlberg next. We found out recently that we have an intern named Shaolin Robot. Well, we knew that. But,
yes.
I've seen her around.
That she does a radio show at UCLA, and she calls it Sexy Time.
She's totally holding out on us.
Sexy Time.
No kidding.
With Shaolin.
Holding out on everybody, by the way.
We didn't realize that that was the case, but apparently Dave, the King of Mexico, went over there yesterday to try and tape the show, and they have no way of taping shows there. UCLA, which is
that's good.
It's a good broadcasting department, and so Dave apparently videotaped her with his camera.
Okay,
and we're going to have some highlights of Sexy Time coming up just after 7 o'clock.
Excellent.
We've been warned, by the way, by Omar in the other room that we may not want to put Sexy Time on our air because our listeners will prefer it to our show, and then there will just be a demand that Shaolin Robot take over the whole show.
Aww.
Apparently, she does poetry, poetry.
Fantastic. Uh-huh.
Some kind of romantic poetry that she reads. Apparently, she raps as well.
Well, she Fantastic. Can't be as good as me.
Well, no. No one's as
Come
good
on.
As you. But a whole different kind of rapping,
sure.
I'm sure.
I understand.
Well, we're looking forward to that. That'll be coming up just after 7. You mentioned the Incubus Grand Prize drawing next hour, too. Congratulations to Gisela Tejada from La Habra. That's a lot of vowels, by the way. I did all right with that one.
Yes, you did.
She just won. She is the final person to qualify for the grand prize drawing. We'll do in less than an hour right now to go see the band in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Aye, aye, aye.
And also an autographed lithograph. So that concert is coming up on October the 20th. We'll do that grand prize drawing coming up in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Now, Mike, Ozzy and Sharon are coming into the studio. Are you going to get another tattoo? Are you really going to do the Sharon thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have a tattoo artist on hand, so I'm just gonna
have her sign it.
Shaolin fire up like a homemade one. We could take a big pen, heat it up with a lighter. I'm gonna get Sharon.
Is this prison style tattooing?
Yeah,
is that what that
I'll
is?
Just let Shao go to town. Like I said, maybe take a little like a creme brulee torch to a big pen and just go at it on my butt and. Kevin recommended that I get Sharon on my buttocks. To go with the Aussie on my right pec and use the O ring as the O.
For Osborne.
For the Osborne. I like it.
I think that makes sense. You know, that's
creative.
One topic that we should do that we haven't done is the homemade tattoos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have time to ask him about it, but when Dave Grohl was in, I wanted to ask him about his Black Flag tattoo because he had about three-fourths of a black flag tattoo. Three bars, and it has four in the actual tattoo. And somebody asked him about it, and he said, dude, that hurt. He did it himself, apparently. He was just
gave up.
He gave up after three because it hurt. It's like, well, that's not much of a black flag tattoo now, is it?
I'm not saying
I'm tough enough to do it, but I'm just saying I'm sure there are people out there who have done it themselves that it has turned out very poorly.
My friend was too young to get a tattoo, and so he did he got a Pantera tattoo that he made his own self. And no ink. He just carved the word Pantera into his arm.
With a knife?
Yeah, and it's just scarred up his arm. It says Pantera in his arm forever. And he's like an accountant. He's an accountant, like balding old man now.
That was brilliant.
I would bet that at least half the Raider tattoos out there are self-inflicted or given by your prison roommate. Wouldn't you guys think?
Oh, sure.
Half may be a little high, but you know there's a lot of people who just either didn't have the money or, more importantly, our audience, maybe drinking a bit and decided that it was time to get a tattoo. And you look around, there's no one there professional, so you do whatever you got to do.
Sure.
And people who are under 18 who can't legally get one, they figure this is the way to do it, is to do it myself or have some friends help me with it because I can't go down and get somebody to do it. And by the way, that's the age at which you should be making those kinds of decisions about permanence. That's the age at which you should be deciding what you want carved into your skin for life.
I like your boy carved it. I like that a lot. All right, we're waiting for Mark Wahlberg. He's going to be on the phone here in a second. We Own the Night is the name of this movie. It's Joaquin Phoenix and it's Eva Mendes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And it's Robert Duvall. Who's Dude. Great in every movie. Looks fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
And here we are.
Still waiting.
Hey, Lightning, how about that Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, I'm on hold. They say they're going to bring him to me any second. Sorry, guys.
No, this is good.
This is outstanding radio.
This is exactly what we needed right here. A little breather.
Guys, here we are.
What was that?
That was him just saying, here we are.
Okay. So what's
happening?
New, guys?
How about next Wednesday, go to the Whiskey if you want to see Band Packs.
Sure.
Let's talk
Band Packs collabo with the guys who do the Dick Cheney song that we play here on the show.
We should
Tell
talk about
it's
this.
It's, at
the,
an event.
It's at the Whiskey, and it's a charity event next Wednesday night.
That's right. The world-famous Whiskey at Go-Go. Come see my band, Band Packs. And we will be performing some Kevin and Bean favorites. Razmik Artunian's going to stop by and do Brow Down.
Okay. Awesome.
Brandon Davis will be in the house to do Fire Crotch.
Excellent.
And we did a parody song that sounds a whole lot like Hey There Delilah that we can't really talk about the title, but that will be played on stage.
Dude, bring out all the hits.
Oh, bring out all the hits. Plus the band Sanchez, who does Dick Cheney.
Right.
Here, they will be on the bill as well.
And it's a charity event. Tell us about
it.
It is. The charity.
All the proceeds go to charity, and it's to raise money for sexual refugees from Thailand, female Thai hookers who have come here to L.A., They need food, they need housing, they need a way of assimilating into the L.A. culture. So, you know, we're just helping them out because we care about Thai hookers.
All right, this sounds like a scam to me because Thai hookers have a way to make money?
Yeah, but not legally once they get to the United States.
They don't actually want to be hookers anymore,
but
apparently.
Hold on a second. My question is, these guys.
Right.
They're hoping to get paid.
Right. It is charity, so we're not going to get any monetary like reconciliation. Right. So we will be paid in Thai vag. But
is Thai vag on the bill?
Yes. Go to Ticketmaster, Ticketweb, put the words Hump Day, two words Hump Day in the search. It's the only show that'll come up. Everybody needs to go. All the money goes to Thai hookers. Come on.
There you go.
That's
all right.
Awesome, Mike.
Psycho Mike, your band Band Packs, which is one of the strangest live shows in Southern California. I mean, the audience, they walk out of there bloodied and broken after one of your shows. How on earth did you guys get hooked up with the Thai hookers? I don't even understand what the connection is there.
It's because, you know, we may seem like rough, rugged people who don't have a lot of spiritual substance on the outside, but deep down we care. And this is something that we can get behind.
Literally.
All right,
I think we know the answer to that question.
All right, 6:46, Kevin and Bean Show. This has been Mark Wahlberg, and We Own the Night is the name of the movie. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Lightning.
Thanks, Mark, for being on our show.
I think Lightning.
I know.
He says we're close,
but
we're out of time now. But we're out of time now. I love Mark Wahlberg, and I want to go see this movie, but we're just out of time. I just don't know what else we can do.
We Own the Night. That's the movie.
Our pal Ralph Garman is out for a couple days, but we're keeping an eye on the showbiz beat for you. You know, this week has really been... For many people, they think a watershed week in the death of record companies. Of course, so much publicity around Radiohead releasing their album for free or whatever you care to pay for it at Radiohead.com. And by the way, I heard an expert yesterday, Kevin, saying that they will make more money off this album giving it away for free than they would releasing one through a record company.
Really?
Isn't that unbelievable?
Because people are paying.
people are paying an average of about $10 or $11 an album, and the money is going directly to them. It's all theirs. They've right. got no cost to pay back to the record label. Then, of course, a couple days ago, you heard that Trent Reznor, after 17 years or something, is finally free from a record label, and he plans to do the same thing. He plans to not have a label, plans to deal directly with the fans. You know, more and more you're seeing this. Now the story is unveiled this morning that Madonna, who has been with Warner Brothers Records since she was a teenager, I think, or right around 20 or something like that, they put out every single one of her albums. That deal is up, and apparently she is going to sign a deal with Live Nation, which is the concert promotion company. They're not a record company,
right.
but she's signing a deal with them that's worth $120 million.
Wow.
Listen to this. It's a cash and stock deal that reportedly will last 10 years. It'll encompass three studio albums, tour promotion, merchandising, name licensing. She gets an upfront check for $17 million for signing the deal.
Wow.
Oh.
She gets $50 million to make the three records and $50 million to give Live Nation the rights to promote her tours. Now, the tours, of course, is where they make the money off Madonna. I mean,
right.
her last few tours have made over $400 million she's grossed on her last couple of tours. So, I mean, you can still make cash off Madonna. I don't know how many records she's going to sell, but the records doesn't seem to be the biggest part of this deal.
How about
it's unbelievable at 49 years old to be signing a $120 million contract with Live Nation. A lot of people and a lot of record companies in this town who are wondering
yeah.
if they're going to have a job 10 years from now. I'll tell you that.
Rapper Snoop Dogg will be starting his community service soon. I don't know if you saw this, but his punishment for carrying an illegal weapon into John Wayne Airport, Orange County Airport, last year. He claimed that he had the baton. It was a prop for a video, but he was charged with a felony. He is going to try and stay out of trouble for a year. It'll be reduced to a misdemeanor. And his sentence includes 160 hours of community service at a park in Orange County.
Apparently, see how they come at black people?
Apparently raking leaves and taking out trash and working around the park.
How many hours?
160.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh.
I know it sounds, oh, community service, what's that? We did... What, being 120? No.
I think it was 149, maybe?
Took us 6 years to do that.
I believe it.
It's crazy how much that is. But.
Well, we were weenies, and we would only do like a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there. The way to do it, I think, is just to dedicate yourself to it and get it. You just blow it out in a couple of weeks. I think that's how you should do it, but yeah. we didn't, unfortunately. Yeah. Snoop Dogg, by the way, doing more time for carrying a baton in an airport than he did for killing that dude. How hilarious is that?
I don't think he killed that dude. How dare you?
Well, murder was the case that they gave him.
No.
Here's this is interesting, by the way. We've heard about one of many houses that Tom Cruise owns is that 9-bedroom place up in Beverly Hills.
Right.
He apparently, because he's not there that much, not in L.A. that much, doing movies around the world. He's got plenty of other homes in other countries around the world. He's decided, and tell me how weird this is for Tom Cruise, a guy who seems to really value his privacy, that he's going to rent it out when he's not there.
Rent it out and then still own it and come back and live in it?
Yep.
Huh.
$100,000 per month is what it costs to rent Tom Cruise's house. Apparently, it's very nice.
Well,
it's
I hope.
Hidden from the street. It's on 3 acres. It's got a guest house with three different apartments in it. It's got a pool. It's got a spa. It's got a lighted tennis court. I guess you make a little money. You're not in the house. What's the big deal? But it just seems like a star as big as Tom Cruise would just be worried that somehow something creepy or bad would happen. You know what I mean?
And,
it just seems like,
yes.
wouldn't be worth the risk for a guy like him who doesn't need the money?
He doesn't need it. That's the point. That's weird.
But whoever can afford $100,000 a month, they're not going to do anything bad to the house.
Well, I don't know that I
mean, if they have that kind of money, it's not like they're going to try to take pictures of stuff and get money for it. Right?
Yeah, you're probably right. And a crazy Tom Cruise stalker person is not going to be able to afford that. So, I mean, you kind of automatically are keeping the riffraff out.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm sure you've seen all of the Britney Spears going to court, all of that video and the
mm-hmm.
whole fight and how she's trying to get one overnight with her kids. And apparently the judge finally gave in and said she could get one overnight with her two sons.
One a week.
But there has to be a court-appointed monitor, and they're trying to argue that that would be her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Britney's mom, which is strange that she would get together back with her mom right now when needed.
Yeah.
As an overnight monitor.
That's an interesting point, yes. In Touch Weekly magazine is quoting sources close to Pam Anderson who swear that the reason she had that quickie wedding in Las Vegas over the weekend was because she was pregnant by Rick Sullivan.
Mel?
Okay. Pregnant is what they're saying. However, pictures that came out yesterday showed her in Las Vegas, where she's part of that Hans Galak magic show, where she was, you know, drinking and partying, hanging out and, you know, playing poker with people who are chain smoking around her, not acting like you would expect a pregnant woman to act. So now there is some question as to whether that was the cause for the speedy marriage or not. Who knows what's going on? But usually you don't see women who know they're pregnant drink unless they're Britney Spears.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. She does seem to be the only one. There's a search that was done by Yahoo as far as costumes for Halloween. Which TV shows are inspiring the costumes this year?
Oh, okay.
Give you the top 10. Adam's Family is number 10. That surprise anybody?
Well,
I mean, I understand it's a perennial favorite, but yeah, at some point you expect that might drop off as nobody alive today has ever heard of it.
This is how they did it. They searched for the TV related costume searches online. So you got Adam's Family, number 9, you got the Power Rangers. Number 8, you got the Geico Cavemen.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that somebody would think that would be a good costume.
Number 7, Scooby-Doo. Number 6, Reno 911.
That's kind of funny.
What, do you just wear like shorts that are way too tight?
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
I think that's funny.
Number 5, Flintstones.
Okay.
Number 4, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Nice.
Oh, that would be good.
Number 3, Sharpay from High School Musical. Oh, I guess she's one of the girls in High School Musical.
Okay.
Ashley Tisdale, yeah.
Is that what you're going as, Bean? Number 2, any other High School Musical costumes. Apparently there's a lot of them.
I think I'm going to Zach this year.
Number 1?
Number 1, Hannah Montana.
Oh.
Yep. Okay. We told you her tour was
the biggest
tour of the year.
Right.
Yeah. Hannah Montana.
Yeah, by far. I'm a little bit surprised to not see Heroes on the list. I can't believe there's no people dressing up as Hero or dressing up as Claire. I mean, it seems like there's some pretty good costumes out of that
show.
They
might be. This is a search online to find these costumes, and maybe those people are just going to make their own because they're a little older.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
Because that's not in the 11 to 20 either. So.
Yeah, gotcha.
I imagine they'll be doing it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Young Jeezy turns 30 today. Actor Hugh Jackman is 39. Kirk Cameron, 37. Speaking of Kirk Cameron, how about former TV star Adam Rich from It Is Enough? He is 39 years old today. And I think maybe the best 10 minutes of radio you've ever heard in your life is straight ahead, because we found out that Shaolin Robot has a radio show. We've got tape to prove it right after this on the world famous K-Rock.
Yep. Cake right there, people. How about that? Short skirt, long jacket. Kevin and Bean show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. An hour from now, we have Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne in the studio. We got the movie beat coming up. We got the Incubus grand prize. We got Eva Mendez, and I don't care about any of that.
Well, because our favorite intern of all time, ladies and gentlemen, Shaolin Robot, has joined us in the studio of the world famous K-Rock. Good morning, Shao. How are you?
Good.
Oh, my God.
Shao goes to UCLA, and she's been interning with us for the past couple of months. And let me tell you something about Shao. She's an unusual person. We've had a lot of interns over the years in that she never stops. You never stop being fascinated with her. Every week we peel back another layer and find out something else fascinating about Shaolin Robot. And we just learned this week that she has a radio show at UCLA. How could you not have told us that, Shao?
You never asked me, Bean.
What? did you have sex today? Do we have to ask every question every day? Don't you think we would be interested in that?
No.
Shao, we're interested in everything about you.
Shao is the dumpster diver, for those of you that are keeping track at home.
Yep.
And her father won't speak to her. What else do we know about you?
Well, she can't have sex with one guy because then she'll have to have sex with all of them. We learned that about Shaolin Robot. And that's what's fascinating.
She is
a stalker. That's true. In training. That's what's fascinating is that you are proud to announce that you are a virgin and will die a virgin, will always be a virgin. Yet you host a radio program at UCLA called Sexy Time. Tell me about the genesis of that. How did that get started?
Well, I never had sex, but supposedly it's a wild time, and my show is a wild time, so that's why I call it Sexy Time.
Okay. All right, then. That's good.
You call it Sexy Time because you think it's fun like sex would be.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people like sex, too, so when they hear the name Sexy Time, they'll like my show.
Okay. All right, that's better marketing than Kevin and Bean, I got to admit. You give people a little something else to think about. All right, so what kind of a show is it? Is it mostly a talk show, music show, call-in show, advice show, what?
It's a little bit of everything. Like, we have some celebrity trash talk, and then music, and then we have other special things going on.
And other special things going on, she means poetry. And Dave the King of Mexico went over there, and I have a clip. This is of Shaolin Robot, and who's your partner?
We call her Lil Stacy.
You call her Lil Stacy, okay. In Sexy Time, talking about her poem.
So,
I'd like to inform all the listeners, who most of them I know are my friends, about some of the poems I wrote. I just recently got into a creative writing class, very selective. It took me a long time to write these poems. So here's a love sonnet that I wrote that I share with you guys.
Takes a breath. She's thinking about it.
Would you like to read it? It's kind of embarrassing. Okay. Okay. I don't want to read it.
Okay. All right.
What?
Okay, so she set it up, and she's going to read one of her poems because she worked really hard on it, and then she doesn't want to read it.
Poems are embarrassing.
Right, but you knew that before you turned on the microphone, didn't you?
I know, but I was trying to fill up time, and then I changed my mind because it was too deep.
You know what I find fascinating is that there's tons of buildup and then no payoff, just like sex.
It's like our show, too. it's too deep.
What'd she say?
I just realized it was too close to my heart that I wasn't sure if I wanted to share it anymore.
Okay, so then she realizes.
So would the poem have blown your listener's mind? They couldn't have processed the emotions that were being channeled through the radio? Is that what it was?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, she starts to read it, Bean. She's kind of going back. Now she realizes she's kind of a little too far in, so she better go ahead and read the poem.
I wish we had never loved at all. I can't do this. It's too personal. Too personal.
So she starts reading the poem, and then she backs out again.
Okay.
So then she thinks, all right, here's what it needs. It needs a little background music.
Certainly.
If I play some background music underneath my poetry, maybe it'll be a little bit easier to perform.
Okay, I'm going to play some Aqua Lung. Let's hope it does not divert from the poemness.
There is no such thing as poemness. You know that, right?
I like
That's
to
how poemy her poem is.
You like what?
I like to make my own words sometimes.
Yeah. Like poemness?
I couldn't think of a word, so I made my own word.
Now, did you ever read your poem?
Yeah, I finished it.
You finished it, okay. And then she goes...
It's entitled. It's called Untitled Sonnet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is. She's still leading up to reading.
I wish we had never loved at all, if matrimony's not reality. Just to let you know, in a sonnet, there has to be, I believe, 10 syllables, 5 stressed and 5 unstressed.
Okay, that's not where you... You don't explain that to people in the middle of your poem. I mean, if you want to say that, maybe you would say this is a sonnet up front. But we can't get her to finish the poem.
It's too personal, Kevin. She's stalling.
You're going to have people taking their own lives. So she finishes, and then she goes to her sidekick.
You want to hear my other poem?
If you must.
A lot of enthusiasm for your partner right there, Shell.
Even your partner's tired of your poetry.
No, she loves it.
Oh, that's it. She loves it. So now you start doing your showbiz report or whatever this is, where you're talking about hot chicks. Is this, what do you call the showbiz feature?
In our showbiz feature, well, we didn't talk about much since all the news is like Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have like an annual ho for show list that gets updated, and we name the top 5 people we think are hoes.
Top 5 people you think are hoes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Scarlett Johansson is hot.
Okay.
Charlize Theron is not. Did you see her in Monster?
So she's saying Scarlett Johansson is hot. Charlize Theron is not. Did you see her in Monster?
Where she had makeup on.
Yeah.
Or in prosthetics.
It made her look as ugly as possible.
Anything like herself.
I would have chosen Scarlett Johansson if she wasn't chosen before.
I think she's overrated. That's why. I don't know. She's just like big boobs and that's it.
How dare she?
I don't know why you would think Nisha Barton is retired when she is, like, absolutely, like, perfect. Kind of, like, tall and lanky like a giant, but...
She's not perfect. I think she's going to be, like, the next Paris Hilton.
Have you seen her in any tabloids recently? No. Bashing on all my favorite actresses, Stacey. Thank you.
Wow, she's getting upset.
Yeah.
Misha Barton is absolutely perfect.
I love Misha Barton. And Charlize Theron was ugly in that movie, too.
She was supposed to be.
She was playing a real-life person who was ugly. They made her look like that on purpose. She's a beautiful woman, Shell.
Esquire's top number one hot woman should look hot no matter what.
Yeah, she does look hot no matter what, except when they put makeup and prosthetics on her to make her ugly.
They put her in a chair and on purpose took away all of her beauty. That's what they did on purpose with makeup.
And she gained 50-some pounds before the movie started filming.
Her inner beauty should have shown through.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
My God.
Well, I'm with you on Scarlett Johansson, Grace. I'm with you on that. Now she talks about where she likes to live.
I really like dorm life. I really like my floor mates. Mm-hmm. Do you know the three rooms next to me and the three rooms to my right and the left are all guys? Not that I like to live next to guys, but it's just like, you know, easier to borrow things.
Like what type of things?
No, like with guys, like you're going to be like, hey, can I borrow some printer paper or like can I get a CDR?
Can you do that with girls too?
But they deliver it to you.
Okay.
So true.
And you know why that is. You know why they want to get into your room, right, Shell?
Because they're really nice dudes who not want me to walk to their room.
Your room represents your pants.
No, I'm thinking that it's more embarrassing for me to walk into their rooms and then they see their friends see me. Okay.
But what I'm saying, Xiao, is that you are emotionally retarded and you don't realize that these guys are nice to you because they want to have sex with you. Please understand, they're not giving their stuff away because it's fun. They're giving it away hoping that it will open up the relationship with you.
Yeah, sharing is caring.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. And finally, she talks about her neighbors some more.
And my neighbors can like solve the Rubik's Cube in like a minute.
Okay. Well, I have a friend who can do that. It's supposedly really easy after you figure it out. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you know you were on the air at that point? When you started talking about the Rubik's Cube, were you aware that the mics were still on?
I thought a lot of people thought Rubik's Cubes were cool.
In 1985, yes, that would be true.
You're magic. You're magic.
The show, your radio show, does make the hills on MTV look deep. I will give you that.
Show, listening back to your radio show now, mm-hmm. Do you really think it has earned the title Sexy Time?
I think it's really good.
I'm talking about sexy, though, the adjective sexy.
Since the title of the show is Sexy Time, now that we've heard some of it, do you think that it might be named a little poorly?
I think the name is very appropriate.
For what we just heard?
Yeah. You know, some parts are very short and brief.
Mm-hmm.
It's unexpected, you know, contents of my show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just overall fun time.
Okay. There you go.
She's defending it. Shell you got to give her that.
Sexy Time.
Mm-hmm.
When can we hear you again, Shell?
You can hear me next Thursday, 2 to 4 p.m.
Thursdays at 2 to 4 p.m., UCLARadio.com, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I can't wait. I wish it was next Thursday. That, of course, is Incubus, and you've been qualifying all weekend long for the grand prize drawing, which we are about to do here on K-Rock.
All week, in fact, Monday through Friday, we've been giving away the Incubus CD catalogs, and now it's time for the grand prize drawing. And I'm thinking as you're dialing up the phone here to call our winner, of all the exotic locations we've sent you around the world, to Paris and London and Rio de Janeiro and Prague and Perth, Australia. I mean, we've sent you everywhere, but is this the pinnacle? I mean, seriously, who hasn't wanted to fly to Guadalajara, Mexico for a concert?
Aye, aye, aye.
I mean, that's the deal right there.
I think I would like that. That would be a fun trip.
Sure.
Especially if you're an Incubus fan, for God's sakes. You'd fly anywhere to see them, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's the final stop on their tour. If you are a K-Rock listener and your phone is ringing, go ahead and answer it.
Could be us.
Probably isn't, but could be.
What city are we calling?
Walnut, California.
All right.
Hey, this is Crystal.
Oh, Crystal.
No.
At the tone. Please record.
You're going to be like that, Crystal.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hey, Crystal. Kevin and Bean.
Good morning.
How's it going? Okay, bye. Dial back.
Wait, we're not going to tell her? We're not even going to tell her?
No, not on a message.
Do we have another phone number we can try?
No, but we have the same one again.
Maybe this time she'll wake up.
Okay. All right. She's probably hoeing.
Lightning says hit star 82. Because maybe she doesn't accept whatever block
number. It went to her voice message.
Yeah, but
it did go to her
though.
Voice message. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so lighting's retarded.
Yeah.
All right, so this is Crystal Someone in Walnut, California.
Crystal must be a porn star because her last name is a porn star name.
I can't wait to hear it. Movie Beat coming up next on K-Rock. It's Friday morning. Ozzy just after 8 o'clock.
Yes, Lightning.
If you, when you hit star 82, the number will come up. Without it, it says blocked. A lot of people don't pick up a blocked call.
Oh,
I don't.
That's true. I don't either. Lisa
doesn't. Oh, I see what you mean. She's not picking it up because
she thinks it's a sales call or something. Maybe.
Hit it before I dial anything?
Star 82.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never We've done that before?
Something
yeah.
today.
I don't want people to pick up the phone.
It unblocks your number, right. Okay, so call. So she's going to recognize this number now?
I don't. At least it'll
this
be
this number that we're calling from?
It'll be a number as opposed to blocked.
All right.
That's a good point.
I thought Shal's radio show was bad.
We have no room to talk.
No kidding.
Calling Crystal Darling.
Wow, that is pretty sweet.
That's a hell of a porn sweet. Name, right? A stripper name? This is going to end in a crescendo of leaving another message.
I know it is, which we could have done 4 minutes ago.
Should have done that the first time.
Thank God you made that executive decision.
You don't think that was a good decision?
Well, in retrospect, it could have gone better.
All right. This time we'll leave the message. All right. We go. And then the woman says, if you'd like the page.
At the tone, please record your message.
No, this is good.
When you have finished recording,
I used to like it when there just was a beep and you could leave a message. You didn't have to listen to all these instructions. Who doesn't know how to use a phone in 2007, for God's sakes?
No, I hate that. Hey, Crystal Darling, Kevin and Bean, you're our grand prize winner. You get to go see Incubus perform in Guadalajara, Mexico. You get an autographed Incubus lithograph. You get airfare for two, hotel for two, tickets to see the band in Guadalajara, Mexico, and $1,000 spending cash, which will get you all kinds of hookers in Mexico.
And would it kill you to pick up the phone once in a goddamn while at 7:30 in the morning? Come on, Crystal. You knew you were eligible for this. Okay, bye.
Right. What, you want to end with chastising her?
I do, yes.
What Bean means is congratulations, and someone will call you back.
She qualified. She knew we were doing the grand prize drawing. Wouldn't kill her to maybe be around to pick up the phone. That's all I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I'm saying congratulations.
So why do you hate, Kevin?
Well, here's the thing. You know how they say that there are parts of America that are beautiful, and a lot of people don't think of staying local and going to see something beautiful. You know, they go like to Mexico or,
sure,
you know, over Hawaii.
Like
someplace.
Bean went to Kansas and thought it was,
yeah, well,
it was awesome.
Yes,
pretty, I guess.
Here's the thing about Death Valley.
Death Valley rules.
Named properly, first of all, and second of all, if New Jersey is the a-hole of America,
right,
then Death Valley is the hemorrhoids.
Oh,
how dare you? Death Valley is a treasure. Are you kidding me? It's awesome.
Bean actually went there for a vacation and plans to go back because
see,
you can't see all of Death Valley in just a few days.
Here's how Bean picks vacations, though. How many people are excited about it? None.
Right.
Oh, then it's awesome. How many people are there? None. Well, fantastic. I'll go.
Excuse me, dude. They wouldn't be a national park if it weren't of interest to enough people to bother sustaining it. It's not just dirt, you know. There's a lot of magnificent stuff.
It is just dirt.
That's how I picture it. It's
dirt, is.
Right?
I was there this weekend. It's dirt. It's super dry. Any of those fake rubber plants that are those little weeds that are growing, if you touch them, it takes all the moisture out of your body. You fall to a little pile of powder.
Look, it's not chilly there, if that's what you're saying.
It's hot. It's dirty, and it's dirt, and it's dirty.
I would live at Death Valley if I
could. I know you would.
Did you go outside at night and see the best stars, the best star viewing in America? Is it Death Valley at night?
No, because here's the thing about that. To drive from my house to Death Valley, you go up the 5 North,
right?
And then right at the 5 North where it splits off to the 14,
yeah,
you take the 14.
Right?
That's fantastic. Very, very little traffic on that road.
Yeah. It was a little accident this weekend.
Was this is this Friday night you were driving up?
No, it was Saturday.
Oh,
and
no.
And I don't really follow the news all that much. So some friends of mine said, oh, you know, we're going up there. Here's the alternate. Go around this way and this way. That's how to get around.
So you went 14 and then you're going to cut over on the 138 to get out to Death Valley, right?
Right.
I got you.
But from my house, you got to go 405-5,
right.
14. So that was closed. And it turns out that everyone who's trying to go on the 5 North takes the alternate. Everyone.
Yes.
And we sat in my car. I think it took us a little bit, and I'm not exaggerating, a little bit over 2.5 hours to go 5 miles.
Oh, yeah! My God.
Maybe. It was like we were on Balboa, which was one of the sides. And everyone was on it. And it, of course, it narrows down into a couple lanes. So you literally sit there sometimes without even rolling forward for a minute and a half. And then you roll like an inch.
Oh, God.
And then you wait for about another 2 minutes, and then you roll an inch.
But at least kids are really patient.
Your car wasn't packed with 9-year-olds, was it?
Oh, dear God.
But wait, or did not make it to Death Valley?
Made it.
How long did it take you?
About 5 hours.
Oh.
Because 2.5 of it was right at the 5 and the 14, and everyone trying to go, I was trying to find another way, and there's only a couple of other ways up through the grapevine, not the grapevine, but up the 5.
But here's what's so funny, when you came home. Still not open, right?
Nope. Had to go a different way. When I came home yesterday, had to go a different way. Came down the 395 into San Bernardino, where, as you know, it's lawless and there's you know, vampires and werewolves, and you're lucky to get out of there alive. You don't ever want to head toward San Bernardino. No. And then down on the 395, we were stopped and go the whole way because everybody has to go a different way.
My God.
I sat in the car this weekend for about 4 days.
But it's not like people had a choice. I mean, the 5 was closed
completely
in both
closed.
Directions. So everybody had to. It's not like they were trying to annoy you.
No,
I mean, they didn't have
not.
A choice.
But
know?
At least you went to vacation spot Death Valley.
Hey, at least when we got there, it was really hot and really dry.
And dirt.
Oh, I hate Death Valley.
Best weekend ever?
Hate it. Why would you go on vacation there?
Because it's just beautiful.
You do that just to get attention. There's no way you enjoy it.
Thousands and thousands and thousands
of
people. No, they
don't. I was there. There was no one there.
Every year go to Death Valley.
There were like 8 old people that can't move. They can't get out of there, so they're stuck.
Don't listen to me. What about the hotels that are in Death Valley that obviously couldn't stay in business
people
if they didn't have a lot?
People drive up, stay overnight, realize how much it sucks, drive back.
Dude.
They leave immediately.
I think if you'd have been in the right headspace,
you
would have enjoyed
that
Death Valley.
That would have made it less dry and dirty.
I'm saying you were probably super stressed out from the 5 hours in traffic.
But here's my favorite thing, and this is the part that I really want to make a point here, is that it's taking 2.5 hours to go 5 miles. Okay, so no one's moving.
Right.
Does it help to honk? Really?
That makes me insane.
Just every once in a while, like somebody would just lay on the horn. Okay. What? Do you think everyone in front of you is just going to go, oh, all right, let's step on the gas? Really? Who's honking?
It's a retard.
I wanted to get out of my car and go beat the guy up.
Yes.
I wouldn't have moved. I could have got back in my car, still been right where I was.
I think you would have felt better.
I would have felt a lot better.
Did anyone have a gun,
A-holes.
By the way, in all that traffic?
No,
seems like somebody.
I wish. If I had had one, I would have shot everyone. Then I could have just driven right up through there. Wouldn't have been a problem.
Psycho Mike, by the way, the Dallas Cowgirls fan on the show, went home early. He was crying because his Cowboys lost yesterday.
I'm so sad.
He couldn't take it. But we are going to recap all of the weekend's football and baseball action with former sports guy Matt Money Smith. He'll be joining us just after 8 o'clock this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, very happy to welcome back to the program one of the best on television, Craig Ferguson, star of The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, weeknights at 12:35 on CBS. Craig, welcome back to the Kevin Amin Show, my friend.
Good morning, my world-famous K-Rug buddy.
We are good. Are you a fan of the American football or the European football?
Well, I like a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of bi-curious that way. Yeah, I like that. So, they're not mutually exclusive. You know what I like with the DVR thing, though? If you watch the American football, but I usually start watching the game like 45 minutes after the game starts.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you can really get through the game.
That's the way to do it.
I could have watched it before that.
You can fast forward through all the commercials,
sure.
And it takes much less time.
I do it with baseball, too.
Now, do you have a team, Craig? Because when you moved to Los Angeles, it seems like we had already lost our football team. So who do you root for, if anyone?
I kind of just watch it a little bit. I was kind of interested in the Chargers a bit last year, but they're not, you know, there's nothing really happening this year.
No, they're on fire this year. Woo!
They did beat the Raiders, but then the people in this room could beat the Raiders, so that doesn't really count.
Beating the Raiders is kind of like, you have to do that to get you past your citizenship.
That's true. Hey, speaking of citizenship, the last time I tuned in, I watched a few nights ago when you had Fred Willard on, very funny stuff.
And he's a funny guy.
He's the best.
Yeah.
And you were talking about, and I know you bring it up from time to time on your show because you're one of those guys who does talk about what's going on in his life. You talked about how you're getting very close to taking that test. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I am. I've now been cleared by, Homeland Security and the TSA and the Flight Watch and whoever else has to clear you before you can do it. So now past all that, the kind of background checks, I have to take the test itself.
How long have you been doing this show?
3 years.
Interesting. You're saying it seems like maybe he should have taken
it. Saying, what
well,
is it?
They let him on TV every night. He's got a lot of influence, and yet, oh, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, you know what? This is America. Many people on TV may not be citizens.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Don't you feel, though, that as a foreigner coming over and taking a job away from an American, that it's because but isn't it really? It's because of you that our friend Carson Daly's on at 2 a.m. or something, because you get his slot, right?
Yeah, that's say it's my fault. Whatever you need to tell yourself, Junior.
Now, last week was National Coming Out Day. I'm sure a lot of people know that. I have one clip from Craig talking about that.
This is National Coming Out Day. And that's, I didn't make that up. It's true. This is National Coming Out Day. So, well, I'm European. But so, if you're in the closet, today's your day to burst out and be fabulous. So it only happens once a year, so do the right thing. Don't make us all wait another year, Ryan Seacrest.
I'm kidding. You're not. Hey, you're not kidding, Craig.
No, but
I'm kidding.
You're not, but you have to say it. We understand.
Well, for legal reasons.
We, for the same reason we say that he's allegedly gay. We understand how that works. Let me tell you something else about Craig Ferguson, one of the hardest working men in show business. Not only is he doing his show every night on the CBS, but you're hitting the road. You're doing some of your patented stand-up in Las Vegas coming up the end of the month.
Yeah, that's right. I like to go and do a little bit of stand-up is where I started, and I've been doing stand-up for years, and I think what happened, stand-up's a bit like, I was going to say it's a bit like crack, but it's not fair because there's rehab for crack.
Sure.
So you have to, once you do stand-up, you just have to keep doing it. I mean, you only have to look at Leno. I mean, this is not a guy that needs money, and he's out doing stand-up all the time. It's just that once you get into your blood, you just have to keep going back to it. I don't know why.
I just sense that there's something, and I don't know, I understand that Jay is the nicest guy in showbiz. Everybody who knows that dude says he's stand-up, and they like it, but I just feel like
he's a square guy.
That's what they say. But to me, the need, if you're hosting the freaking Tonight Show for all these years, the need to then fly to Cincinnati to do two shows a night, it just, it's some sort of deep-seated insecurity is working there, and I can't figure out why.
Hey, listen, I like Jay, and he's a stand-up guy, but I'm not going to say he's not crazy. He's crazy.
Is crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's crazy.
Sure. Now, let me ask you this, Craig. Since you started with stand-up, and now you are perhaps best known for the talk show, do people come to your show expecting it to be TV-friendly, like you have to be every night, and then are they surprised that you actually kind of go a little different direction?
Yeah, well, it can happen sometimes. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, that sometimes when people turn up with cheeky monkeys, you know, they get a little surprised. But, I mean, I'm pretty much the same guy, to be honest. I don't think I'm, you know, I don't think anyone's under any illusions about what my language might be like when I'm not under the pressures of censorship. So it's not hugely different. I don't think anyone's, you know, shocked.
We're kind of friends with Bob Saget, and he's a guy who did a lot of really family TV, and then people go see him, and they all walk out.
Yeah, well, Bob's very different. Bob's the dirtiest comedian I've seen in my life.
I know, it's so funny.
He's just... It's filthy. I mean, he's kind of like there's some kind of Tourette's thing going on. I think it's because he did the family TV for all that time. He just can't help himself.
Sure. Can't do anything about it.
This is a Craig.
I did that show, and last time I was in Vegas, Bob does this late night Be As Filthy As You Can Be show.
Right.
Which I did with him, and Jeffrey Ross was there, and a bunch of other guys. Man, that is a foul show.
Don't take your parents.
No, don't take anybody you like.
Craig Ferguson is on the line, of course, from The Late Late Show on CBS. He's going to be at the Orleans Showroom in Las Vegas on October 26th through the 28th. You can go to Orleans.com for information. Hey, in our remaining moment here, Craig, I have to ask, because we have similar jobs in that we both interview a lot of people who have projects to promote and people who are in the news and stuff like that. And you got some great guests on your show. I mean, this week you got Michael Caine, Vicente Fox, Ian McKellen. Those are all people that would be great to interview. But do you have, is there a line where you say, look, I know that person's popular, but I just don't have any interest in having a conversation with that person and wasting 15 minutes of my life?
Sure, all the time.
I mean, really, and do you, and you're allowed to do that? You're allowed to just say no?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I mean, early on in the show, they tried kind of crowbarring some people in that I didn't want to talk to. And what happens is I just end up kind of looking at them grumpily, and you know, it doesn't work out. So I'd say ever since the first couple of months of the show, anybody that's on the show is there kind of because I'm interested in talking to them. And it sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, but... You know, at least, I kind of, you know, I veto stuff that I think, you know, well, I've seen this person on every other talk show anyway.
Right.
And I don't want to hear about how everyone on this movie is all friends with each other. I don't care about that anymore.
Now, you have Vicente Fox on tomorrow night's show and Leslie Bibb. See, if that's me, I'm bringing out Leslie Bibb and bumping Vicente Fox. I know he used to run Mexico and all that, but listen, Leslie Bibb's hot.
Yeah, I don't know if that's quite the way it's going to play.
All right.
We'll see.
Well, Craig, you're one of the guys we never wanted to have to talk to, but in retrospect, I'm glad we did. You were on our list of people that we just thought we'd be wasting our time, but look.
Listen, I bet you have it. I bet you have a little sin bin right there that you don't people you don't talk.
Of course,
of course, yeah. Absolutely.
I got it too. I must admit.
Hey, we were just having a conversation. I swear to God, right before we brought you on, Craig, about whether we would interview Kim Kardashian, who is hot but famous for nothing. I think she may fall below the line
for you.
The name rings a bell to me, but I wonder if she's been on my show or not.
Well, you've probably seen her sex tape. That's really what she's famous for. But all right, Orleans.com for information if you want to see Craig in Las Vegas at the end of the month. Very, very funny show on CBS. Michael Caine, one of the guests on tonight's program. Always great to catch up with you, Craig. Thanks for coming on.
Take it easy, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, former sports guy. Money talking sports just after the top of the hour.
He's a fan.
Stop
well,
it.
Well, that may be true, but he is coming in anyway. There's an awful lot of great sports stuff that happened over the weekend, as Lisa May certainly knows.
You don't have to tell me. I saw it all.
Hanging out at sports bars, texting me about football. What happened to Lisa, the girl who used to come in and talk about her boobs? Now she won't shut up about the Patriots defense. What the hell's going on with the world?
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, for God's sake.
I did see a wonderful play at the Geffen called Quality of Life.
No, we don't care about
with
that.
Scott Bakula.
See, but
awesome.
Here's what I'm saying, Bean. Wouldn't you rather have her talking sports than that?
Yeah. See, I do both. That's the thing now. I'm cultural. Right. And I have a sports.
But feel free only to share the sports part with us.
I think you have to have both.
No. She's now the perfect woman. Ralph Garman's out for a couple days doing some actual TV acting type work. We're filling in on the showbiz beat. This is a great story. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I want to thank the K-Rock listener who emailed it to me over the weekend. The California Franchise Tax Board website. Kevin, you know this story?
No.
They have a list on their website. They mail to taxpayers who are in arrears for their taxes. Okay.
Right.
So but then after they don't get a response, after the person doesn't come through and pay the tax, they put up a list on the website of the 250 people who owe the most money to the state of California.
Awesome.
All right. Number one, by the way, is something called the Rapid American Corporation, who owes more than $26 million in back taxes.
Wow.
Then you start getting into the people involved, and you start looking at the list of how much individual citizens owe.
Right.
A couple names jumped out at me. Number 17 on the list is Dionne Warwick, the singer from South Orange, New Jersey, who owes more than $2 million in back taxes.
How are these people not in jail, if that's the case?
Yeah, when Dionne Warwick comes and plays at the Hollywood Bowl, maybe somebody ought to stop by and arrest her, for instance. But here's the reason I bring up this story.
I don't really care if she gets arrested. I just know I would be arrested. Oh, I'd rather that they didn't arrest me as well, and then I'd be perfectly fine with it.
Are you telling me if you owe to the state of California and you leave the state, there's nothing they can do?
I don't know. You know Dionne Warwick has been in America. I've seen her on American Idol, for God's sake. I mean, you know she's been in California.
They should arrest her for being on American Idol.
$2 million they didn't arrest her. But here's the reason I bring up the story. Who's number 33 on the list? A citizen named Orenthal Simpson of Miami, Florida, who is delinquent in personal income tax to the state of California for $1,435,484.17.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. I'm just trying to be a good guy.
He owes $1.5 million to the state of California. And again, he's another guy that it's not hard to find OJ.
Yeah.
When he's in California, it seems like the state could, I don't know, do something about that.
Wow.
So I'm beginning to think he has no respect for the law. I'm just
That's
now
your
starting
conclusion?
To think that he is not the best guy ever.
Wow. What a surprise. You remember those two girls that were suing Joe Francis and Girls Gone Wild because they were underage?
Yes.
And he didn't get their permission to use them.
Right.
Right.
Well, TMZ had a story about a month ago, I think, where they brought out video of these girls. This is one of the girls that was suing him.
Christina and Brooke.
Oh, Brooke didn't
Are
get
you
a 18? Tank top.
Yes, I'm 18. You got my full permission to put this on anything.
Thank
I don't
you.
Care.
You're 18. You know what girls are about this?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay, there
she
you go.
She sounds pretty sober, too.
On video, talking to the camera.
Case dismissed.
So finally, just now, they have released a statement that said, we're dropping the charges. We're sorry.
Wow.
We didn't mean to cause you any trouble.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? They were suing him because they were underage and he didn't have their permission. He had both on camera.
They should have to pay him money.
That's what I think.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that nuts?
All right, we're almost out of time. Real quick, top 10 box office over the weekend. Tyler Perry, Who? Why Did I Get Married is the name of the movie. I've never heard of it. I don't know anyone who's ever seen it. It was number one at the box office. Thanks, Anel. Nice going. $21.5 million is how much that one made at the box office. The Game Plan with The Rock, number two, $11.5 million. Michael Clayton, a little bit of a disappointment, I think, for a movie that has been so well-reviewed. A lot of people think there's multiple Oscar nominations coming for that film.
It only made $11 million over the weekend. Came in at number three.
That surprised me.
Mark Wahlberg, Joaquin Phoenix, Eva Mendez, who we all fell even more deeply in love with on Friday's show, if that's possible. She's at number four with We Own the Night. Heartbreak Kid is five. Then Elizabeth, The Golden Age, The Kingdom, Across the Universe, Resident Evil, and Seeker rounding out your top ten.
Maxim Magazine has compiled a list of the unsexiest women in Hollywood.
Ooh,
the least sexy.
That's interesting.
And it's a pretty good list, except for it doesn't involve Kirsten Dunst. But other than that, it's a pretty strong list. Okay. Number five is Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Number four, Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Sandra Oh. Number two, Amy Winehouse. Number one, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, poor Sarah.
That's a pretty good list.
She's kind of a shoe.
She's kind of a shoe?
Sometimes. And she has that witchy poo mole, which I wish she'd just get rid of.
Yeah. What the hell is a witchy poo mole?
It's on her chin. It's like a witchy poo
mole. Makes it look like she's in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
I know what Lisa's talking about. She's not a pretty girl.
No.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sometimes she has her moments, but
she has her moments with a lot of makeup and the right angle and everything.
Yeah.
But most of the time you look at it and you go, whoa, hey, stop it, whatever you're doing.
All right. Former sports guy Money comes in next. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about celebrity chef TV star Emeril Lagasse? He is 48 years old today. Kevin has actually eaten meals prepared by Emeril.
Turns out
the dude knows how to cook, right?
Yeah, that was before he became famous, though, and started yelling BAM at everyone.
BAM! I don't get that either. He's 48 years old today. Director, actress Penny Marshall, 65. Maybe one of the dumbest guys in the history of Hollywood. His name is Eric Benet. I think he's a musician, but the reason he's so dumb is that he cheated on Halle Berry. What's up with that, by the way?
Is he the one that said he had a sex addiction?
Yes,
addiction?
That's the guy. 37 years old today. Former Bond girl Tanya Roberts, who will not shut the F up about those weekends in Las Vegas on those radio commercials, is 52. And the real talent in the Jackson 5. You know, screw Michael, Jermaine. Tito was the dude.
Sure.
Tito was the bomb as far as he's the guy pulling all the strings. He is, unfortunately, 54 today, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I don't even know why we bother having former sports guy Matt Money Smith in the studio with us when we now have Lisa as the renowned sports expert of all time.
I'm a little insulted that you don't really see the gem that you have here now.
Well, two words.
The absolute font of sports knowledge.
Two words why you have me in.
Tell me.
Average home.
How great was that guy?
The best.
Lisa, why is South Florida number two in the new BCS Bowl?
Money?
All right, you know, she's out.
My what? 8 years here, I think? So what was it? 7 or 8 years. Lisa,
it seemed like 30.
Zero interest.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'd work out the guns. I'd wear the tank top talking sport. I mean, she'd eat her apples and read
just
her Broadway programs.
Right?
And now I walk in. How about the Red Sox? I mean, what the hell happened?
Well, what happened, folks, who haven't been listening the last couple weeks, is Lisa's new boy toy apparently is a Red Sox fan. And apparently she's just decided rather than fight it during the playoffs, she'll just, rather than just ignore the games like she always has been, she'll just get on board and pretend to enjoy it by watching it. But now I think she's starting to get involved in it.
Which, by the way, thumbs up for Lisa for doing that instead of fighting.
Well, here's the thing. I've been dating this guy for 4 years.
Ah.
It's not new, but I finally just thought, and it rubbed me the wrong way to jump onto a sports team because of a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It really bothered me.
It does
me.
Make
like,
you weak sauce.
Not, yeah, I know. But after 4 years,
you know what you really could do?
It's just now I'm just being a pain in the ass. Right?
That would be very effective for the relationship.
What?
Is brush up on all your Yankees history and just become a Yankee fan.
Yeah,
really?
Of course. That's the point.
I'll do that when I want to break up.
I'm telling you.
There you go.
That's what I'll do. But God bless him. The poor guy's been going with me to plays for 4 years. It was the least I could do, but I'm really enjoying it.
You must be good in bed. That's all I'm saying.
I don't care how good the sex is.
Yeah.
There's only so many plays you can go to with Lisa Bay.
I was at Sonny McLean's on Friday.
Don't care.
Oh, God. That place has got to be going nuts right now.
Oh, it's insane.
For people that don't know, that's
the Red
Sox? Patriots Bar in Santa Monica, right? Caddy corner to Ralph's Eagles bar.
Right.
Yes.
And the Patriots right now.
Wait, hold on. Where is it?
This is Santa Monica!
Yeah, that's
right.
Sorry.
Santa Monica, right.
Santa Monica, yeah.
Lisa, are you also on board the Patriots bandwagon?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
So this has been a hell of a year for you.
Well, I'll tell you, if your sexual success is equal to Boston victories, it's a good time right now.
No, yeah.
Because, I mean, there's with the Celtics, who now have Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, and of course the Red Sox who are going to.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a Celtics fan.
Maybe
the Celtics
be in the World
gonna
Series.
Be big again?
Yeah.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah, because these sucks, you know, and that's why Kobe is, you know, the rumor is he wants to get traded to the East. Because
right.
LeBron can take a cast of idiots to the finals. Right, and right, that's kind of, you know, when you put those three dudes in Boston Green, it's just crazy what has happened to that town.
Yeah.
Now, I heard, speaking of Boston, bastards, and then we'll move on to some of the other stuff, but I heard Chris Collinsworth, I think, last night on the Sunday night game. Who did I hear incorrectly, or did he say he thinks this could be the best team he's ever seen with his own eyes?
Yeah. I mean,
this Patriots team.
You know, I've been watching football a long time, and of course, my gold standard is the 85 Bears because I'm biased. But yeah.
Money's been talking about the 85 Bears who won the Super Bowl that year. Well, nonstop.
Yep. And this
for 20
season,
years.
At 2-4, yeah. I'm going to be talking about them a lot more, too.
Yeah.
Now, the Patriots, and this is the sad thing, you know, the folks here in Southern California should have got the opportunity to watch that game against Dallas. 2-5-0 teams.
No. San Diego, Oakland,
Raiders.
Much better choice.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And that's just a shame because it really very well is probably the best team I've ever seen.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
Even with the cheating?
Even with the cheating. Well, I think it's probably because of the cheating.
Come on. Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of like that 98 rush when they saw the roids and the dudes hitting the home runs. And next thing you know, you've got guys who average like 6 a year hitting 50. It'll be the same deal.
By the way, we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys game and how they got beat. What a coincidence that I had money with, I bet, against Psycho Mike on that game. I'm not feeling well. I got to go home, guys.
You see, well, he won't be watching it again, that's for sure. I mean, they got completely dismantled.
Now, but the Cowboys, weren't they leading into the second half even?
Yeah, they had a lead.
Right.
Which is funny because if you saw the post game with the players, they really had a lead? Like they were, you mean they had a lead? Yeah, Rosie, they had a lead on you. Come on now! I mean, like, legitimately upset that they didn't have the lead the entire second half.
Because this is the first time all year the Patriots have not been leading the whole game, right?
It's really not fair. I mean, the Patriots were, here's the thing, and your Boston boyfriend is going to pretend like it's not the case. People in Boston didn't give a crap about the Patriots. They were an afterthought, and now they've become
really?
The squad in Boston. And now they've got the damn Red Sox, who, you know, of course, lost the curse from 1918, and now they've got the Celtics. It really is quite miserable. Because
at least they're not annoying people.
Oh, God.
At least their
the
accent is delightful to listen to.
Yeah, we got the wicked-ass Pats and the Red Sox. Yeah, it's terrible. It really is.
I can't argue that.
Any other games of note professionally from yesterday before we talk about Saturday?
Well, I'll say this.
Seahawks sure blow.
Yeah, Reggie Bush finally played well. You know, Reggie, there's been a lot of people, I don't know if you've noticed, really getting on Reggie Bush.
Right.
And, of course, here in Southern California, people assume that he's the greatest running back that ever walked the earth. But it's kind of come full circle. Well, yesterday it came full circle. Well, he really did make a difference in that contest with the Saints. But prior to that, people said he was just a wuss that wouldn't take contact and refused to hit holes and take on defenders and just wanted to run away from everyone the whole time. And that just doesn't work in the NFL. Dudes are too fast. But last night he kind of made that shift. The Saints got their first win. So maybe all those number 5 USC jerseys can be pulled out of the bottom of the dresser again.
Who were they trying to kill with throwing the camera onto the field?
Good God. I mean, was it Bobby Engram who almost got taken out?
This
huge,
you know, the overhead cameras that they have on the cable that goes for the overhead shots fell onto the field twice.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Matt Hasselbeck almost got taken out once, and then Bobby Engram another time.
Wait a minute, twice?
Yes. Yeah, they put it back up, and then it fell again, and then they moved it over to the sidelines, and like nobody wanted to stand under it.
I kind of like
you
it. You know, they say football is, you know, they say it's a war out there. Well, yes, it is. Yeah. Now you've got falling objects
they
to contend
They should know
with.
That it's going to drop off of that line at some point in every game.
Yeah.
Hey, wherever it drops, man, don't know.
That was pretty scary. All right, real quick, let's talk about Saturday, because Lisa's not ready to move into college football. But
oh, really?
It's too much. I can't keep up with everything.
Well, he's got damn Boston College.
Yeah, it is the
weirdest
season ever. From week one, it has been every week has been the most unbelievable upsets. And this week, number one and number two both lost.
First time, I think, in like over 10 years that's happened. And Cal, you know, I mean, for being the school that's supposed to be the smart school in the UC system, they had a freshman quarterback who had an opportunity to tie the game up, send it into overtime. But instead, I don't know if you saw this play. So Cal is trailing by 3. Okay, and it's an unranked opponent that's playing the Cal Bears. They have an opportunity to go number one. The number one team has already lost. We know that. So, with 5 seconds left in the game, the quarterback can't find someone to pass to. He can just throw the ball out of bounds or something.
Throw it away and the clock stops.
The field goal kicker will come on, chip shot into overtime. Instead, he runs, lays on the ground so the play's dead, and then starts sprinting to the sideline with the ball in his hand. The ref can't take the ball to set it for the field goal team. The head coach is freaking out. He just takes his headset and throws it into the stands because of the brainless play, the final play of this freshman quarterback.
That's awesome.
Had done a great job marching him all the way down, but when you needed to use your head with the football in his hand running at the sideline.
He's going to get
and that's how they dropped.
An unfortunate call from the admissions office on today. Yeah. They're going to go, oh, I'm sorry, there's something wrong with your paperwork. You're no longer going to school here.
In the meantime, people living in the trees with crap and buckets. And I mean, yeah. it's Strawberry Canyons is a mess of a place when it comes to the atmosphere. But it's a shame because the Pac-10, Pac-10 was, we love the Pac-10.
Of course.
And people were talking about the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big East is better than the Pac-10. And this year looked like it was the year, you know, where you had five, six squads that we could be really proud of on the West Coast.
How's
and
that
finally,
working out?
USC.
Let's take a break and stop you right there because I know you've got some thoughts about USC, who managed to go from 10th to 13th this weekend,
yes,
despite
they
win, which
backwards.
Is interesting. Matt Money Smith is here. We'll talk more with him about the sports if we can get in a word edgewise around Lisa May right after this on the World Famous Game. Some people say it's the golden age of, or at least they said before the season began, the golden age of USC college football, maybe the best team they've ever had in the history of the school.
There were some that said that, yeah.
And now I hear you saying, they're not that good.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of it's injuries. A lot of it is not met expectations, if that's the right way to put it. There's no offensive playmakers, and that's basically what the problem has been for USC. They had 10 running backs coming in, one transferred, a couple have gotten hurt. A couple aren't as good as advertised. There's no wide receiver breakout threat. There's a few guys that whose names you may have heard, Vidal Hazelton and Patrick Turner.
No Heisman this year, though.
Oh, no. It was something that P and I kicked around for a while, and I just said I just can't buy that John David Booty could possibly win the Heisman. He's not good enough.
Right.
And he proved that rather quickly by throwing at least an interception in every single game and putting the team in a precarious position in almost every single game. Now,
they've always played catch-up every game, it seems like.
It kind of seemed to me from the beginning of the season like they were ranked so highly because of the past.
Yes.
And that there's no way they could replace, people like Reggie Bush and people like that with just no
names. And now they're saying that.
Yeah.
But I think what happens with the rankings, it has to be, on the past because they do it before a game is even played.
Right.
There are, because they routed Michigan in the Rose Bowl, and really outside of a hiccup to UCLA at the end of the year, they would have probably been in the national championship game, and judging by how slow Ohio State was, probably won the national championship. So that's where that number one came from. Now, since a lot of defensive players have gone down, half their offensive line, they lost two dudes on the offensive line on one play.
Same play. I know that was crazy.
So, I think you kind of give Pete a little bit of a free pass with the injuries, but at the same time, it's clear that a university that once had Mike Williams and Reggie Bush and Lendale White and Matt Leinart and Carson Palmer right there at that Orange Bowl victory.
Right.
Those players just for some reason aren't these highly top. I mean, he's getting the best
dudes. They graduated.
Dudes. They graduated, but he's getting the best dudes in high school. Their recruits are legit. Problem is, you don't know how good they're going to be once they get to college.
Right. Right.
Well,
most recruits flame out.
Yeah, for the most
very
part.
Very few actually live up to their high school potential.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Jimmy Clausen at Notre Dame, who played his high school football out in the Valley, and even though you look at his record, never lost a game, I mean, he doesn't look that great. He holds onto the ball too long. He's getting killed back
there.
They
need
to get
Smash from the Dillon Panthers on Friday Night
Absolutely.
Lights. That's the guy they need.
Not a bad idea.
It's a TV show.
And damn good looking, too.
Just a TV show.
Exactly.
So how long is Booty going to be out?
Don't know. I don't know if Mark Sanchez played well enough to insist that Booty's finger will still keep him out.
Right.
He threw I think that was maybe, one theory I had was you get Sanchez in there and he lights it up and they beat Arizona by four touchdowns. And you hope that in the minds of the voters, they say, hey, this was the problem with USC, was this Booty guy. And now that they have a quarterback that's going to get that offense rolling, they are the best team in the country, and they'll start jacking them up in the polls. Well, instead, did I say that? Can I say that?
Instead?
Yeah.
They're jacking it up in the polls.
Instead, what has happened is he threw two picks. They had to come back in the second half to beat an Arizona team that had just gotten throttled the prior week, and now they're lower. And I don't know if there's I don't know if there's a possibility for them to make it back.
They won and went 10th to 13th.
Exactly. Right. They won and they slipped three spots. Well, this was the first BCS poll.
Okay.
So this is the one that matters as far as the championship game's going. And, but you got the South Florida Bulls, whose program's been around for 10 years. Not kidding. They started their program 10 years ago, that football program in Tampa, Florida at the University of South Florida.
And now they're number two.
Number two in the nation, yeah.
How about that? Good times.
It is. It is. And it's a shame because, this could have been the year where we thought UCLA was going to be really good.
Sure.
And they've just been awful. I mean, if you ever want to see, when they say, I'd get in there and fight Mike Tyson for $1 million, I'd go ahead and do that.
Sure.
And you think about what your face would look like when you actually had to step in that ring and stare at that man. That's what UCLA's quarterback looked like last weekend when he had to step into a game against Notre Dame and actually face a defense when he was required to pass. Threw four interceptions, fumbled like three times, and literally looked like he wet himself. And that's unfortunately the state of UCLA football right now.
He had his worst nightmare came
true. Yes, unfortunately.
All right, our remaining moments with Matt Money Smith. How excited is Fox going to be at the idea of a Colorado-Cleveland World Series, which could be right around the corner?
Well, I think if there's snow, it could be kind of cool
right now. But they cancel baseball at the first of rain.
But see, I think with the World Series, you can't. Because it's what are you going to do? Postpone it until December?
It's baseball.
I mean, unless you decided to relocate it to some indoor stadium on a neutral site,
snow. Money will back me up on this. They play a lot of games in snow. As long as the snow isn't heavy enough that you can't see the ball. They will play if it's snowing, but if it gets heavy, they got to stop because you can't see the white ball.
I will say
they got
this.
No choice.
You should use it like a bright pink ball because it's baseball.
I wanted to, like a super pinky rubber ball or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I really wanted to get behind the Rockies, and I was excited. They've won 20 of 21.
It's unbelievable.
Last night, there's some a-hole behind the plate holding up a sign the entire game that says, "Get her done."
Oh, really?
Are we going to take someone's catchphrase? Maybe not the cable guy.
Dear God. Yeah. Why would a guy do that?
The entire game, get her done. And you know he's like, oh, I got a great one. What is it? Are you ready? Rockies have the R, so we'll use that R, and it's going to say, get hard done. Oh, that's great.
All right, we don't have much time left. Lakers.
Yeah, not
championship
good.
Year?
Well, you know, obviously the big story with the Lakers is Jerry Buss, Dr. Jerry Buss, reminding everyone that, you know, his is the biggest. And no matter who you are, no matter what you think you've done.
Everybody's treatable.
Exactly. He's the guy. And I thought it was pretty cool that he would come out and say that and kind of restore, to me, some faith in the organization. That this is not built. As much as I like Kobe and
me
think
too.
He is the best player in the league, it's important to have a front office that says, this is our team, and we're going to take care of things the way we intend to take care of them. If that means trading you, then tough. That's what we'll do.
Right.
So it was, I think, a good message for people that like the Lakers.
I do, too. You know what? I've been saying for a long time, I wish everyone else was as upset as Kobe was that they're not winning. It didn't seem like anyone else cared that much. So
yeah.
I'm glad to see there's a little something there.
I think that's one thing that he does. He's got that, like, athlete guy, I work just as hard as, or you should be working as hard as I can. Well, we can't. You know, there's something wrong with you. I don't know why it is that you're in the gym 19 hours a day, but you are.
Right.
So
you have a gene that I don't have.
Yeah, and he holds his teammates accountable, and they just haven't been practicing enough.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be all right. They play, hey, you know, if you want to go see the Lakers, Thursday in Bakersfield.
I'm sorry?
Talking about
wow.
a great time. Yeah.
Did you say Thursday in Bakersfield?
Thursday in Bakersfield. They're going to be
this
playing.
This Thursday. I got that that deal.
The soon-to-be Oklahoma City Sonics. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's coming for sure.
All right. Do you have to go to Bakersfield?
I think I got this stomach thing. I'm going to have to stay back behind.
Well,
stay behind
bad.
For it. Yes, exactly.
It's always great to see you, Matt Money Smith.
Always good to be here, man.
AM 570 in the afternoons with our friend Petros. Come back anytime.
Thank you.
We are on a need-to-know basis here on the morning show. They tend not to tell us stuff, usually until it's too late. So we don't really have all the information, but apparently we're giving away Guitar Hero 3 and Xbox 360. Apparently that's happening, and it's happening soon. You can go to krock.com perhaps for more information, or maybe by this time tomorrow we'll have some stuff we can actually tell you about on the radio.
That'd be good to know, because that's kind of cool.
That's good stuff to give away. Yeah, exactly.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. It's 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message on any topic. Don't feel like you have to share everything.
My nether regions are stinky. Thought you wanted to know. Bye.
Okay, that would have been a good case for self-editing. Like, maybe before you pick up the phone with that information, say, you know what, I'm not going to share that.
Remember Friday when we talked to Ava Mendez?
Yes.
And how great she was?
Do I ever.
And how she told us that this movie, We Own the Night, was better than The Departed.
That's what she said.
Yeah. We Own the Night, not better than The Departed. Thanks, Ava. You owe me $8.
Okay, I did not see We Own the Night, but I'm going to tell that caller that he is wrong because Ava Mendez was not in The Departed, so therefore this movie, We Own the Night, must be better than The Departed because she is in it.
Good
that
point.
Is correct. That's our stance.
But be cautious with your so-called co-worker, Kevin. We believe he may have joined forces with Megatron and now goes by the Transformer name, Frenzy.
Frenzy. We have to call you Frenzy.
Come
now.
On, people.
I don't know.
It's
what
the Frenzy and Bean Show.
Name.
Come on. Frenzy, anything you want to tell us?
see. Wow. I don't have any real power. I'm just running around like a crazy man at all times.
That's fantastic news.
You know, from time to time, we get a text to landline message. And it's read by a computerized female voice.
Sure.
I sent you a text to landline message. Bangkok, Lisa May, 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 Bang.
He said Bangkok. We have funny listeners. We also have listeners that have been listening way too long.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was at the store the other day, and I couldn't find your gravy. Where's it at?
Oh.
I need my gravy.
You know what? Unfortunately, recalled by the FDA, we're no longer allowed to sell it in America, so we only sell it to poor kids in Africa now. I believe that was a Jimmy Kimmel idea.
I think it was.
We should do Kevin and Bean gravy. And at the time, we said, hey, that sounds like a great idea. May not have been the best idea ever.
Okay, Kevin and Bean, so now it's time.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Worst song ever. Worst song ever.
Come on, man. It's 2 weeks out.
Worst song ever.
Sing it if you know it. Kevin, don't you understand that for a lot of our listeners, it's not really the Halloween season until they've heard Halloween spooks. I mean, this is the kickoff to that holiday.
I can't believe you. Don't shut up.
Lisa, you're with me, right?
I am with you.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
All right, listen to this part and tell me this is good.
Well, they're trying to be scary, but...
Yeah, well, they're being scary. Woo, wow, I'm scared.
Oh, this is turning out to be a total waste of time.
Omar, you're with me on the Halloween spooks, right?
I saw rocks.
Not interested.
Tell you something else. Don't get this on Mark and Brian.
Know why?
Sucks ass.
You're talking. And yet, you say nothing.
I'm going to tell you like this. If you don't shut your ass up, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
Well, you put it that way. We'll put the link up again this year. Dave will find the link of where you can buy this for your own self.
Yeah, like anyone's going to want it.
Shut up. Will you shut up?
The guy's clearly gargling. I mean, at what point is gargling a song?
When he's gargling with Satan's blood.
Okay.
All right, big finish. Last 30 seconds. Big finish.
Oh, come on.
Hey, the listener requested it, by the way. I'd like to say we're doing this one for the kids.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree.
Big finish.
I wish that the children
could see. How long is the finish?
But I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window.
That's bullshit.
Dave Duchovny, Californication on Showtime. Very funny show. He's so good on the program. He joins us after the news at 9. Also, TV's Bionic Woman next half hour, too. Michelle Ryan, who, by the way, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't say anything, but I heard the bell.
We're talking about Samara Armstrong. You'd know her if you saw her. She was on Entourage. She was on The OC. Now she's on Dirty Sexy Money. This is weird. It seems like these days, every celebrity just has their people come out and go, yeah, she's in rehab. She drinks too much. I mean, every celebrity's in rehab, it seems like. They're being very cagey about this one. She's taking a leave of absence from Dirty Sexy Money. She's not technically in rehab. Here's the statement. Samara Armstrong decided to enter an outpatient facility to deal with some personal issues in a therapeutic atmosphere and is doing very well. She continues to work on her show and will be completing her treatment in a matter of weeks. Now, she's not – you don't see her in the tabloids and out with all the party girls.
No.
It doesn't seem like
this could be like a painkiller kind of issue. It kind of sounds something like that as opposed to alcohol and
could be. But it's all rehab, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless it's the first time, then it's officially HAB.
That's right, not rehab. I wonder if, I mean, it could be an eating disorder, maybe,
because
she's very thin.
Yeah, that could be.
I prefer to think sex addiction. That's I have to guess, I'm hoping it's just she can't stop jumping on everything she sees. And that's why she has to go away to an all-girl treatment facility.
Where they wear Catholic schoolgirl outfits?
Maybe they do.
One of the ugliest divorces in British history has gotten worse. Friday, we told you Paul McCartney and Heather Mills have settled. We told you the number we heard was $150 million.
Yeah.
According to the London Sun, which is a British tabloid, they're saying that Heather turned down an offer of $100 million because there was no joke there, because he threw in the caveat that she would not be able to talk about their relationship. So she said no on $100 million.
Why would she want to now talk about the relationship?
Because she's a hateful bitch.
It just seems
That's why.
There's nothing more that you can do with $150 million than you can do with $100 million.
She was with him for 4 years. Clearly, this is not one of those situations where the wife was supportive. She gave up her job. She helped the family. She helped support.
Right.
Not what the law was made for.
She sponged off of him for four years.
She got to spend his money for 4 years. She should be lucky, and he should kick her in the ass.
She sounds like
except
she's
determined.
Except
she wouldn't be able to stand because she's only got one leg.
Right, exactly.
She sounds determined to run him into the ground.
And as Lisa pointed out earlier this morning, if you've got a child, which they do together, you don't want to write a book, if that's what you're hoping for, disparaging the poor kid's father.
No.
That's not good for anybody, right?
No, you guys are giving her way too much credit. I went to a charity event that she was throwing, and she got up at the stage and yelled at all of us.
Wow.
She was angry that people were there to see Paul McCartney sing.
Wow.
She was angry about that and yelling.
She doesn't realize that he's the popular one in that relationship.
Wow. No, but she turned down $100 million.
Wow. I got to tell you guys, I would be married to Paul McCartney for 4 years. And all of that entails for $100 million. Got to be honest.
Well, it's easier for you than it is us, Lisa.
Well, I know, but he's old.
No, that's true.
T.I., one of the biggest rappers in the world, string of number one hits on the album and singles chart, arrested Saturday night, missed his scheduled performance at the BET Hip Hop Awards. Apparently, he was in a shopping center parking lot where federal officials said that he was there to pick up machine guns and silencers that he had his bodyguard buy for him. It was apparently a sting that was conducted by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives about a man inquiring about buying machine guns without registering the weapons as required, according to a criminal complaint filed over the weekend at U.S. District Court in Atlanta. T.I. says and you're right, Kevin, he did have a previous offense. He is a convicted felon, not allowed to own those weapons, especially not allowed to own unregistered machine guns and silencers. He naturally is trying to blame it all on the bodyguard, saying he didn't know anything about it. It's just the man trying to keep him down.
But he was there in a parking lot.
He was there in a parking lot, yeah.
He was just there in a random parking lot, and some guy walked up with machine guns and silencers.
He could have just been going to Walmart, Lisa. Man, you don't know. You don't know.
Who knew they made silencers for machine guns?
What does he need machine guns for?
Oh, what do you think?
Dude, it's hard out there for a pimp.
That's right.
God.
And here's another interesting story that most of us will care about. Kevin will not. And it's because it involves Led Zeppelin, who, as you know, is one of the biggest rock and roll bands of all time. They have that frenzy over their reunion concert in London that 20 million people tried to access the website to buy tickets for.
Frenzy, isn't that your name, Kevin?
Frenzy is Kevin's new name with the Transformers. That's
right. That's my Transformer name.
Well done, Lisa.
Frenzy.
Well, they have been one of the few big holdouts on digital downloads. You've never been able to legally buy a Led Zeppelin song on the MP3.
That was true of the Beatles until recently, wasn't it?
It's still true of the Beatles.
Oh, it is still. Okay.
But that is starting to crack. George Harrison is now available on iTunes. The Beatles are just behind him.
George Harrison. It is a far cry from the Beatles.
They're on the way. Beatles are still holding out. Garth Brooks is still holding out. You know,
why?
Metallica for the longest time didn't want their stuff sold digitally. They finally worked out a deal they're comfortable with. But here's the news. Led Zeppelin, November 13th on iTunes.
And, how about that?
That's going to be a big deal. They sell millions of albums every year. I mean, they're one of those bands that, you know, almost every 13-year-old discovers for the first time. And it starts a lifelong love affair with that group. So that's a big deal right there.
According to People Magazine, KFED, Kevin Federline, was in Wilmington, North Carolina over the weekend. I did not even know he had this job. Maybe I blocked it out. Maybe I heard it and blocked it out. But he was shooting episode 7 of his guest spot on One Tree Hill.
He's been on that show for 7 episodes. I mean, I know they haven't shown them all yet. But.
According to this article, episode 7.
What does his character do?
I don't know.
Dave, come in here, please. Anything on the CW, we got to go to Dave for it. I mean, if you have him on once, maybe he's playing a douchebag, and that's funny. But
like
why,
he was on CSI.
Yeah, but why do you have him keep coming back? He can't act.
You know anything about that, Dave?
Well, he's doing a couple of guest spots, and that's about it. I mean,
have you seen him?
No, because he's not on the show yet. I mean, okay. It's for the upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that, you know, the show's going to take place 5 years from last season.
Right.
So,
but you're going to boycott it now, right?
It's really tough because Sophia Bush is on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but isn't she balanced out by K-Fed?
I need to know if he's decent.
He can't act.
Oh, well, that you know, just, I'll be so disappointed.
This show had Stephen Coletti on, so,
yeah.
So
really?
They don't really have good actors on it.
Okay.
So it's
actors.
Not a requirement to be able to act.
Yeah, I mean, just show more Sophia Bush and it's good.
But, I think Superhorse is in a band. He's going to be in a band.
Okay, yeah, so. Yeah. Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
But he's not great.
Not great.
Ooh, I hope he raps.
Oh,
please.
Oh, that would be heaven.
Please.
That'd
see,
be awesome.
He's not a big enough celebrity for people to want to tune in to see it, and he's not a good enough actor to play a real role.
Well,
so,
that was Stephen Coletti's first role in anything, so I think they just give people a chance, and hopefully they'll get an MTV crowd or something, you know, to watch it.
Mm. Well, we reject that whole idea totally.
Dave, as soon as you watch that show, right?
I love
that
show,
as soon as you see him on there, you got to bring in, you know, let us know and we'll bring
will
you
do.
All right,
yeah.
And finally, if you were looking for the worst hour in the history of television, I may be able to beat Kevin Federline on One Tree Hill.
Mm.
In a few minutes, The View will begin. Now, you want to stay away from The View in general anyway?
Sure.
But today, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton and Evanescence are the guests. And I just can't get my head around what a portal to Hades that is. I mean, that if Ray Wise doesn't step out as the Reaper at the end of that show and say, here's what hell looks like if you don't repent, sinners.
Yeah.
Senator Hillary Clinton and Evanescence on one show.
Dude, I can avoid all of that in one fell swoop.
It does sound like the worst thing ever. I can't get my head around the booking on that. All right, Dave Duchovny coming up next. Also, Michelle Ryan. She is TV's Bionic Woman in the next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Today's celebrity birthdays, the former Mr. Halle Berry, Eric Benet, is 37 years old today. He cheated on her, don't you know?
Sex addiction.
Tanya Roberts is 52, former Bond girl and star of That 70s Show. Tito Jackson, 54, actor-director Penny Marshall. She was either Laverne or Shirley, wasn't she, Lisa?
She was Laverne.
She was Laverne. She's 65 years old today. And famed celebrity chef and TV host Emeril Lagasse turns 48. Bam! That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. So Michelle Ryan, TV's Bionic Woman, is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so. And any moment, the phone will ring and our pal Dave Duchovny will be back. By the way, is this the first television Mr. Duchovny has done since X-Files?
Except other than Gary Shanley.
Yeah, except for the guest spots on them. He was doing movies, you know, a lot of movies. I was a little bit surprised to see him come back. But now that I've seen the show, I know why he did, because it's such a great character that he's playing on Californication.
Here's why I'm angered by him and this show. Because he has sex with every woman he comes in contact with.
Every woman. Whether he wants to or not, by the way.
Yeah. And, like, for example, when he was buying a car, did you see? This is like, it's like a porn show. When he's buying the car and the chicks does this.
So tell me something.
Oh.
What do I have to do to get you into this car?
Okay, look. How many of us have taken test drives in our lives? Right?
Right.
Even if it's a female, she can be like 60. Still, the guy's mind goes, maybe on the test drive, maybe if she wants the sale bad enough.
So is your complaint, just call it porn? Is that what you're saying? If you're going to write those kind
of stuff? No, I'm just saying, don't keep that dream alive. It doesn't happen.
Well, maybe it does to Dave Duchovny. I don't know.
Freaking Dave Duchovny.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning.
Come on. Hi, in all the Porsches that you've bought in your long and illustrious show business career, have you ever had a salesperson that looked like that?
Well, you know, I think the problem is I've never bought a Porsche. I think maybe I should.
You're keeping that stupid dream alive, though, Dave. Every guy that takes a test drive is like, no, I'd like to go with the girl on the test drive,
you know,
if that's okay.
If I was environmentally as conscious as I say I am, it would have been the Prius salesman.
That's true.
Yeah. You know what, that, because he looks like Larry David or somebody.
When I was a kid, I was a delivery boy in Manhattan. I delivered, and don't laugh yet, I delivered meat.
Yeah.
I delivered meat for a meat market, and I was 12, 13, 14 years old.
On a bicycle?
Yeah, on a bicycle.
Wow.
With the big, you know, the big metal belly, you know?
Sure.
And the way they used to have them. I think they still have them sometimes now. But, I mean, it was my just ongoing fantasy that some bored housewife would open the door and sure. I'd deliver the meat and she'd invite me in. And,
right.
But of course, it never happened.
That's what I was going to ask.
Especially working in the West Village, it was a whole different story.
Well, actually, it's funny you should say that, Dave, because the K-Rock microphones were there.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
So there you go. That's
you guys are quick.
Yeah. Delivered the meat by ass.
You know, it's funny, Dave. This Californication, this character that you play, and I know we've talked to you a couple times since the show debuted, which, by the way, Showtime, new episodes air every Monday night at 10:30. This character is so fascinating for me as a viewer because he's such a wreck, yet is so entertaining to watch. I imagine as an actor, this is like a role of a lifetime because you get to play every single emotion in the course of a season.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's essentially a comedy, and then but it's got a lot of heart and a lot of distress, so it has been great. It's been everything that I thought it might be when we started. And, you know, as an actor, it's always fun to play the guy who's the loose cannon or the guy who'll say anything.
Sure.
In life, we don't get the Porsche saleswomen that look like that.
I know. Right. That's why I'm angry at you.
We don't get to say everything.
Yeah. That episode, I think it was two episodes ago it aired, the one where you find out, your character finds out that his father has died, and he basically goes off on a bender, and everybody is saying what you expect them to say, which is, how can you feel this way about your dad? He's dead. You ought to be there to see the.
Right.
And you're saying he's an a-hole and he's a bastard and I hated him and he's so conflicted. And you were so good on that episode, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's also the episode where your ex has sex with you. And your character's ability to continue to hit on her is legendary.
Yeah, I really am annoyed with him.
It's unbelievable.
Like, why did she just smack him down?
So she has sex with him once just because he's grieving, and then this is him trying to get her back.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You coming up?
No. Why?
For the make of the sex.
Are you f***ing insane, man?
Okay, we can do it right here. Do the seats on the trendy West Side accessory recline.
Hank, whatever sex we're going to have, we've had, okay? It's over.
It's a little late to play hard to get, don't you think?
We need to start acting like we split up already, okay? Let's just forget about it.
Forget? Who could forget such a knee-rattling orgasm?
You were grieving. I was co-grieving. It was a slip.
It was a good slip. I think you knocked something loose down there, Tiger.
Hank.
he doesn't quit. She's engaged to another man. He just bought her an engagement ring. That's how much he doesn't quit, Dave.
Yeah, I think he's a good role model for perseverance.
Yeah, well, no kidding. Just the
kids at home could really learn something from him.
The endless optimism of him. He just expects any second she's going to melt.
Well, and the guy that she's with too, he's a good actor, but the character that he plays, Bill, is just such a tool. I don't know how she could ever be with that dude. I just don't get that. It's weird
because he's not like Dave.
Because he's stable.
Yeah. She needed something the opposite.
He's stable and he loves her and he's a good guy.
Yeah. Dave DeCompany's on the line. We're talking about Californication. Monday's 10:30 on Showtime. That means a new episode tonight. Couple of listener email questions, Dave, if you don't mind, I want to throw out to you. First of all, let me see. I want to let you know that I saw Dave DeCompany in Santa Monica last Thursday at a dance show, something called the Magicopolis Theater. Why was he there? Has this sexy hunk of a man gone soft on us, or is he simply supporting the arts? What do you think there, Dave?
Is that a relative thing, or were you dancing?
I was not dancing.
All right.
It would not be entertainment if I were dancing.
It would be
something closer to horror.
Okay.
But my daughter has just started dancing, and a couple of friends of mine were involved in that show, and we were invited, and I went. We had a great time.
That is 100% legitimate. If you're going to support your daughter, then you're off the hook.
But that's the only legitimate answer.
Right. All right. Question number two, like you haven't heard this one before, from Sean, who writes. Oh, Sean is writing. He listens to us online every day, Dave, from Ireland.
Oh.
And he writes in, please ask Mr. DeCompany about the new X-Files movie. I heard that it has been greenlit by Fox. When do they start filming? Thanks, Sean in Ireland.
Not officially greenlit as far as I know, but we hope to be starting filming in December.
Fantastic.
And in Ireland, that's December.
So is that going to be one of those deals where you're going to figure out a time you can do it in between seasons of Californication? Because you've already been picked up for a new Californication, right?
If we start in December like we want to, I'll be done in time to start the new season in April.
Great. How many more episodes of Californication still to go?
Three more this year. And tonight's episode is actually, it's really funny. I mean, and kind of, it's kind of gross.
Well, you mean as gross as you throwing up on that painting?
You know, it all depends on your point of view. You'll have to get back to me.
It involves girls in a boxing ring. Is that the right episode?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. I'm terrified. Yeah. It is a funny show. And tonight, Evan Handler, who everybody knows from Sex and the City, who plays your agent Charlie on the show, he lost his wife to a lesbian last week, which was awesome. And I guess he moves in with your character tonight. And that can only mean trouble for everybody involved.
Exactly. That's what happened.
It's a great 1-2 punch on Showtime. You got Weeds first, and then you got Californication at 10:30. It's a fantastic hour of TV.
We're really proud of you for this show, Dave. It's really, really good, man.
Thanks. Can we talk a little about things we lost in the fire?
That comes out on Friday. You're
sorry,
in that.
Sure. Before you kick me to the curb.
You know what's funny about that, Dave, is I have a sheet of paper that says things we lost in the fire, and I didn't realize it was yours. I figured it was something else.
You thought maybe you had a fire at your house.
Sorry about that.
Now, insurance doesn't. Yes.
Do you nail Halle Berry in this movie, or what's the deal?
Well, I'm married to her, so...
So no. So. we're talking about how fun and light Californication is. This looks like the opposite. This one looks like a weeper.
Well, this is a really kind of emotional roller coaster ride of... it's just a powerful story of loss and redemption. I hate to use those big words, but it is. And yet, it's extremely... It's entertaining because it's so kind of true, and Halle and Benicio are terrific in it, and I recommend it. I just think it's really a powerful film.
Now, this is one of those, it's a limited release, right?
I think at first, but it's, those are big movie stars. It'll roll out big.
But don't look for it every theater this weekend.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Oscar winner Benicio del Toro, Oscar winner Halle Berry, and Dave Duchovny. That's the cast for Things We Lost in the Fire.
That's what I dreaded about
the billing.
The billing. When I was doing the film, I was like, I would say to my wife, "Here's the commercial: Oscar winner Halle Berry, Oscar winner Benicio del Toro." And David Duchovny.
And that guy that used to be on that show. I do have to say.
We always joke, my buddy Bart Freundlich and I joke about this award called the Fennecus.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what it is, but it's an award I think he might have won it at one point.
Congratulations.
So I always say in that lineup, I'll say, and Fennecus winner, David Duchovny.
I only have one other thing to tell you, Dave, and that's that your wife, there's a monster billboard right by my house of your wife, and she's modeling, I don't know, a watch or jewelry or something.
Yes. She does. That's a charitable exercise. All that money for those advertisements goes to UNICEF, which she works for.
She's 250 feet by my house, so that's good. I mean, 250 feet tall, which is...
She is, in my mind, she is also that tall.
Okay, good, perfect. All right, so things we lost in the fire, which is Friday in limited release, and Californication tonight at 10:30 on Showtime.
Right.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now. Time for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, how about a pair of tickets to the Fright Fest at Six Flags Magic Mountain, happening Fridays through Sundays, now through Halloween night? It says here, although I don't know that I'm willing to say, get the yell scared out of you with ghostly mazes.
Oh, I think you can pull that off.
Okay. And your favorite coasters, including Tatsu, Scream, and Goliath, racing through the night with no lights on. Dude, that sounds crazy. That's at Six Flags. That's what you get. 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air and be on with us.
All right, Greg and Corona, good morning.
Hey, Kevin Bean, what to do, nephew?
What to do?
Hey, I got to complain, dude, about these sign holders.
Yep.
they're cheating. They're getting lazy on me. They have a stand that holds the sign to twirl it. They're not even throwing it in the air anymore, dancing. They're just standing there behind the stand and just moving it back
and forth.
Let me
see if I get this straight. You're upset that the sign holders aren't working hard enough for you?
Exactly.
Okay.
I drive a truck all day long. I'm in a rig delivering equipment.
That is a hard job, sitting there and driving that truck.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you.
I'm going to these jobs, and as you know, I go to new housing tracks, and now they have stands behind their sign.
Dude,
and
I saw the best thing I've ever seen before in the middle of California, which, by the way, is just a crap fest. The middle of California can suck my ass. It sucks. But anyway, I was there, and there were like there was a corner where there were three sign holders like fighting with not fighting, but like stepping in front of the other guy, like trying. Yeah, it was
sign
awesome.
Sign battles?
It was almost a sign riot. That's what we need. We need competition.
That's cool.
Greg, let me take your complaint to the judges and see what they say.
I have heard your argument. The motion is denied.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Bad. Nothing we can do about that. Thank you for the call, though.
Manuel in Los Angeles. Hi.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I went to go see Good Luck Chuck over the weekend.
Yep. Why? Oh, Jessica Alba. That's why.
Sure.
Okay.
Exactly. And I was really surprised on how many breasts you see.
Hers?
In the movie. Really?
Hers? Are they hers?
No, not hers.
Oh. Well, then they're not as good as they should be.
You'd be surprised. There was a woman and her two children sitting next to me, and every time a pair of breasts would come up, the little boy would go, Mom, boo! Mom, boo!
That kid is going to grow up to be trouble.
Yep. By the way, that's my reaction as well.
Hey, how? One more question for you, dude. How sucky was Dane Cook in that movie? When you walked out of it, was it worth sitting through Dane Cook to see Jessica Alba?
Yeah.
He's not that bad. You're high.
He is that bad.
He's not that bad.
Thank you for the call.
All right, let's go to Oscar in West Hills, because leave it to a K-Rock listener to make this a good situation. Oscar, hi.
What do, White Devil?
and to you as well. What's going
Thank
on?
Thank you. Hey, I had a great time being stuck on the 5 freeway.
Did you?
Yeah, my girl and I were heading to a Valencia hotel. Mm-hmm. She liked the cleaner ones. And since we got stuck in the freeway, I had her please me right there. And
is that right?
Oh, so you saved the cost of a hotel room.
I saved like over $80.
Oh, well done.
How long did you sit in that traffic?
Well, I lasted for 20 minutes, but the traffic lasted over an hour or so. Yeah. But I saved myself from spooning.
It was all good for
I
you.
Guess that's good.
He can put a positive spin on anything. You know what? I hope some of the widows of those truck drivers are listening today and they feel a little bit better about the situation on Friday night.
Stop it.
Well done, my friend.
Let's go to Danny in Hollywood. Good morning, Danny.
Hey, what do you do, nephew? What do you do, baby boo?
What do you do, Danny?
All right, check it out. I went to go cut my hair, right? And there was this guy that I'd never seen before. And these other ladies were busy, so they pushed me to this guy.
Right.
So in the middle of my haircut, he grabs my shoulders, whispers in my ear, "I am Sam, the Armenian comedian."
He whispered that in your ear like it was supposed to make sense to you?
I never felt so lavenderish in my life.
Did you feel like a sneaky butcher?
Oh, man. As soon as I heard his name, I thought of that record that he was trying to say. My hair is going to be so messed
Okay, but
up.
But here's the question. Did you stand up and walk away like any right-thinking human being?
Oh, no. I flinched. I turned back, and then he just started, "Yes, I'm from K-Rock. My friend's from K-Rock."
How sad is this? This guy is on our show for 5 minutes a year, yet he tells every single person that sits down in his chair to get a haircut that he's on our show.
But I'm saying at least you have that warning. Did he cut your hair?
He was already cutting my hair. He couldn't get up. He was halfway done.
I don't care. Stand up and walk away. That's very scary.
I'm sorry you had to endure that.
Thank you for the call.
Jimmy Kimmel said that I have more talent in my little pinky finger.
Yeah? Right. He's right about that.
Than what? He's right about that. More talent.
Than what?
Well, because I'm trying to add the spice in me.
Sam?
You're trying to add the spice in you.
Sure.
You guys are
That's the way it's going to be for all we've done for you. Come on.
Caesar in Los Angeles. Good morning. What did you do?
Yeah, what to do? I was at the Halloween event last night at Universal Studios, and I was in a 3D haunted house maze, and this woman took her complete blouse off, totally off, boobs were showing, and held up the whole line. Of course, I was looking at her boobs. The security comes in, and they don't give her nothing to put over her boobs, but one grabs each arm, and they walk her out of the haunted house. And she was hot. She was really hot, but I guess she was, really loaded.
Oh, is that what it was?
And so I got to see some boobs up in 3D.
That's fantastic. So the security probably took her back. We're going to take you back to our office, young lady. Now, you just sit there and think about what you did.
Give you a talking
Can
to.
Can I have something to cover up?
No.
Well, that's one way to sell tickets to that show, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's the second time we've heard about nudity.
Yeah. Right?
That's
What's
good
up
times
with that?
Right there.
All right. Let's go out on some free boobs. Why don't we? Thanks to all the calls. More tomorrow. Thanks to all of our very special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Michelle Ryan, we just spoke to. She is TV's Bionic Woman Wednesday nights at 9 on NBC. How about our pal Tony Hawk, by the way?
Coolest guy in the world.
Coolest multimillionaire I think we know personally. Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, available in all formats everywhere tomorrow. It sounds awesome the way he described that. We'll put that one up on the website, too, for the Tony Hawk fans who didn't get a chance to hear it today. Thanks to Craig Ferguson for joining us. The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson airs weeknights at 12:35 on CBS Channel 2. You can also catch Craig live doing some stand-up at the Orleans Showroom in Las Vegas, October 26th through the 28th. Go to Orleans.com. And it's always good to talk to Dave Duchovny. Californication is the show Monday nights at 10:30 on Showtime. Things We Lost in the Fire is his new film that opens up on Friday in limited release.
Just a reminder, The Weeds is just before that, too, at 10 o'clock. That's a great show, too. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. R. Kelly has a new video, believe it or not.
And this is not Trapped in the Closet.
Nope.
This is something else, right?
Something else, but just as magical.
I can't wait.
We'll introduce you to that. We're going to talk to people who are addicted to sex.
Ooh.
That fascinates
us. All right,
The Magic Don Juan on the program tomorrow. And a new website to introduce you to. And Jimmy Eat World will be here. They will be talking about their new CD and performing live tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Have been gone for a long time.
Seems like it, huh?
They're one of those bands that just dropped off the face of the earth, and now they're back with an all-new album. So it'll be good to see them performing live tomorrow morning. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including solo Eddie Vedder. Hard Sun is the song from the Into the Wild movie. Also some Green Day, Foo Fighters, Living End, STP, and more right after this on K-Rock.